United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Bush.
Line.
I'll pay you tomorrow.
Lord, it's
discover, yes it will. And if you look, you will discover, yeah. Lord, it's the real Mother Gaga. Good God. Listen, got to go to a disco.
And I'm talking to all you horny boys out there. And you better pay attention, because I'm taking names.
Hi, Granny G.
Listen to me, you piss-ass pimp. If you make a baby and then just flick, you got no heart if you don't know. The repercussions of a daddy, no show. That child is going to cry for you. You better listen, because it's all true. Stay in touch. Give up the buck. Babies eat money, you'll be married, honey. Keep it in the pants. You better pant. Say you need a mommy and a daddy to dance. Be more choosy about who you see. Just don't think that sex is free. It's not right, but if you pay, you know how it feels to be a daddy someday. Be a stand-up guy, and you'll get high with the love of a child which money can't buy.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 29th of July, 2014. You'll see it's a little dreary out here in Northeast Ohio. It's a little chilly out here. I came in my studio, and I have a sweater on. I went out to let my dog out this morning. I went and put a sweater on and said, this is not good. This is not July. This feels like fall. And I don't know if it's going to get warmer before the day is out, but whatever it is, I just want you to know, if you haven't been out yet, you want to go and cover up because it's chilly outside. Well, today I've got some guests coming on, and I'm really excited about having both of them. The first guest I have on the top, at the bottom of the hour, his name is Hans von Spankovi, and he's written a book called Obama's Enforcer. It's a book about Eric Holder's Justice Department. Very, very good read. I've been reading it for the last couple of days, and I think you'll enjoy hearing the interview with him, as well as the upcoming interview with him and reading it yourself. It's very, very enlightening. It tells you a little bit about the history of Eric Holder and how his perspective is that it's a roughshod Justice Department. And so we're going to talk about it a little bit later. And then further into the program, I've got a gentleman by the name of Root. And we're going to be talking about, and I can't wait for this one, the murder of the middle class and how it's on purpose. So that's going to be very, very interesting. So sit back, lock and load, and get prepared for a great ride today here on Tracy and Friends. The number again is 347-945-5229. Want you also to take a look. I don't know if you guys have heard and or seen, it's been floating around on Facebook. There are two things, and I want to bring them to your forefront today. There are young people out there doing what they call the pass-out game. And it is the craziest thing I've ever seen. They try to hyperventilate, and then somebody pushes into their chest. And then they hold them until they pass out. And they gasp for air, and it's really messed up. And I believe it can kill you. I believe you can die. That is bothering me, and I want people to know, talk to your children and let them know, because just because it hasn't happened here does not mean it cannot happen. And they need to know that stupid is not as stupid does, please don't be stupid. No matter what your friends think, and sometimes you just got to get talked about, you just can't be cool. So please let them know about that. The other one is, and I'm going to play this clip. This will blow your mind. I never knew Facebook has some crazy stuff on there, but then Facebook has some stuff on there that's like very enlightening that's going on. Take a listen to this.
It's a new way to get high.
Made me just feel, like I was walking through wet concrete.
And it's called bed bugs. That's because it is bed bugs.
So what it does is it enters the brain, and it goes to certain receptors in the brain that are in the pleasure centers of the brain, and those are stimulated, dopamine is released, and the person gets a high from that.
Bed bugs have a known hallucinogen that, if smoked or injected, can cause major hallucinations. There is no way to extract the active chemical known as pH-417, so the entire bug is dried, crushed, and then smoked, and sometimes even injected.
It's neurotoxic. It's very dangerous. It's a reality out there, and it's something that parents really need to be aware of and wake up to, that it is happening.
Doctors warn that another chemical inside the bed bugs, called teparate, can make a person sick with flu-like symptoms.
And so then you get the blood levels that come down, the pleasure comes down, and then over a period of time, the person is left feeling more depressed, dysphoric, looking for the next.
Some of you probably have your mouth open right now. Never had heard of that before until I was doing some research and looking at some things on Facebook last night, and that came across my page, and I said, are you kidding me? So I shared it because people need, I just need for us to know that as we're looking at things going on abroad and things going on in Washington, we need to make sure that our children are not doing dumb stuff. And children, young people are inquisitive. You know, peer pressure is real. And these are not the children of yesterday. These children, it's no different than huffing. And when they were huffing glue at one time, you know, all this, you got to understand, we remember it. We remember people that died from it. And we need to make sure that we keep our children safe. Good morning, Eric. How are you? So he's going like he's not there. I know he's there because the phone rang.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
Phone rang. The phone rang. You look at you acting like he ain't there. He there. I see the phone rang. The number came up. I know that's Eric. Hey, Tracy. Good morning, Eric.
Good. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm rambling, aren't I? How you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Can you imagine people smoking bed bugs? Do we understand that?
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, what?
Do we really understand that people are smoking bed bugs?
What happened to cheap wine at the corner store?
Man, I don't know. I mean, Boone Farm, Boone Farm, Strawberry Boone Farm.
Yeah.
Mad Dog make you sick for days, it'll make you quit drinking for real. I don't understand. I just don't understand it. And I played this granny. She was on America's Got Talent. And she was talking about, holding it in your pants. We don't teach that anymore. We really, really don't teach, abstinence. We don't talk about it. We don't teach it. We tell people if it feels good, do it. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he's turning 80 tomorrow. He's turning 80 this year, I think he said. And he was telling me that he was talking about a young woman who was a burlesque. She was a burlesque queen. She was huge into burlesque. And how, at that time they only went down to their bloomers. And that was called risque. I mean, that's kind of weird, ain't it? Now what we show on television is something that they had to pay money to see women in their bloomers. you gotta comprehend that. Marilyn Monroe went down, you never saw her in a bikini like we have today. She was never in a thong. Yet our young girls walk around and in a thong. I'm just throwing stuff out there today.
Posting is
because it is. It doesn't make sense to me, and we don't pay attention. And as your daughter just she just graduated from high school. She made it, but she's going into a world that's still crazy.
Absolutely.
And the young men, I don't know if they have parents or not, but stuff is just crazy. I just throwing stuff out. Just throwing stuff up against the wall. Because I'm just amazed at stuff. And I'm amazed that parents, young people that have children are not. I lock my child up in a house. they wouldn't let them go nowhere.
I don't get the parents to buy their girls that stuff.
I don't know how they. I don't. Well, see, young people today have their own houses. They have their own rooms. And they can shut their door and lock it, and that's off limits to their parents. I never knew anything about that. I've never had my own room like that. Because as long as my room sat in their house, then I just had a place to sleep.
Yeah. The door stayed open.
Yeah. Never slammed the door in my whole life. I'm going to start slamming doors just because I want to see how it feels. I'm serious. I have yet to slam a door. I've never done that. And I need to do that because I've never done that. That would be good. Slamming doors is good. It should relieve stress, right?
Yeah, it's a stress reliever. There's a place in Mineral Ridge called the Wrecking Ball where you can actually pay money and go in there and break stuff. Yeah. It's in Mineral Ridge.
No.
You pay, you go into a room, they give you a sledgehammer, and there's TVs and old VCRs and stuff, and you just have at it.
And people pay for that?
Yeah.
No.
It's like $25 for like 10 minutes.
That's funny. $25 for 5 minutes? That's a gig. People pay to do that too? No, they don't, Eric. No, they don't.
Yeah.
No, they
don't. It is. It's called the Wrecking Room.
People pay to do that? Mm-hmm. For $10, they can come slam a door in my house. That's amazing. I guess it's therapy, huh? It's called therapy.
Yep. They give you a jumpsuit to put on. They give you some goggles, a sledgehammer, and you just smash away.
Oh man, life is crazy. We have Wayne Allen Root coming on at 10:30. They didn't have his first name. Wayne Allen Root coming on. He's talking about the murder of the middle class. He'll be on with us at 10:30 this morning too. So I'm excited about talking to him also. And we have a pretty good lineup of guests coming on with us next couple weeks. And I'm pretty excited about that because there's a lot of information that needs to get out to people so that you can actually read on pros and cons of what's going on in our America, in our country. I don't think we are understanding. We are not dealing with our children. We're not dealing with our educational system. We're not dealing with our government. We're not dealing with our faith. We're not dealing with just basic livelihood of America. And I think that it is really, really preparing to kill us. And I don't know why we are not a little bit more cognizant and or aware of the world around us and where we live in our own community and in our own home that we can control. And I know things are out of control because it costs a lot of money. It really does. We went to the grocery store the other day and I walked out with $50 less and a bag full of air and just shook my head. What do you do? And it's really, really a shame. And I know how gas is going down. I think that is the biggest farce in the world. Our gas goes up and down like a yo-yo. And they do what they choose, and I know that we get frustrated because we don't think there's anything that we can do about it. But because we don't have the information, we get what we get. And it is what it is. And it's kind of hard to fight City Hall by yourself. It's kind of hard to fight the speculators in Wall Street by yourself. And so we sit on the sidelines, and we just deal with the issues. And we're going to have to start impacting and changing some things if we want to make things right. Because right now it's just bad. What's new in your world, Eric? What'd you do last night?
I didn't do anything special. Just pretty much sat in my lady boy and watched some TV.
You know, you got to get a job.
How was your evening?
It was good. I rested. I did. It was a rainy, crazy night, cold, chilly. So if you didn't want to turn the heat on, the air was off. You had to get under a blanket. So the best thing to do is just read, rest, and sleep.
Yeah. I got up this morning. I was freezing. House was freezing.
That's what I'm telling you. The house is cold. I said, ooh, this is bad. And so I did that last night. I did that and got up and made me a I'm trying to eat this healthy way, so I got made me a tomato salad with basil and mozzarella cheese with grape tomatoes and a slice of turkey. And then I went back to bed and called it a night. And woke up this morning, it was cold, and sitting here, I did some reading for the book that's coming on this morning. We have two of them that's coming in this morning, two authors. So I had to read through those and hopefully finish some of them out. Very, very interesting. The one guy who's coming on at the bottom of the hour, he cites a case that came out of Youngstown Sheet and Shoe, which is pretty interesting. I need to pull that case up because I never knew that there was a case back in the 50s that had to do with Youngstown Sheet and Shoe that went to the Supreme Court, I believe. So that was rather interesting, so I'm going to have to ask him about that. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You should mark it down, and we will... If you don't act crazy, we'll pull your number. We'll pull your number up. If you act crazy, you know, we won't do that. So what you doing today, Eric?
Well, I'm going to do what you did yesterday at the grocery store and see how much money they're going to set me back. Hopefully not too much.
You buying food?
Yeah.
Oh. You just don't worry. If they say... They're going to be light. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's going to be light. They can't help it. Don't understand it, but it's going to be light.
And the little dog is ready to go for a walk, so we're about to do that.
You walk the little dog?
Yeah.
Now, do you pick up after the little dog?
I figure down. There's a vacant lot at the corner. She usually does her business out there, so we really don't have to do that.
Okay, so you take her down to the vacant lot.
Yeah, that's like that's the neighborhood. That's the neighborhood bathroom for pets.
So do you care when you when people come into your yard and let their dogs eliminate and don't clean it up?
Oh yeah, that's because I don't do that to my neighbor. So I just I ask, please don't do that to me, you know.
Oh, you're one of those. You're one of those good people.
How about you?
I ain't saying. I ain't telling. You're not supposed to tell on yourself. That's just crazy, Eric. That's just crazy. I think everything has to do with environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think everything has to do with environment. People who are in an environment where everyone cleans up behind themselves, takes care of their yard, it tends to make you do the same. If you're in an environment that they don't do that, you tend not to do that.
Yeah, because the dog, I mean, she doesn't even like to go in our yard. She likes to go down to the next corner and do it.
she likes walking and going down to her spot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my dog likes to walk, period, whether it be in the park, whether it be around the block. She likes going for a walk. She likes going out and strutting and showing off who she is.
And she loves loves car rides too. Like my my German Shepherd, she hated car rides. She would literally get sick.
You think it's the size of the dog?
I think so.
You know, we're sitting up like a bunch of old people talking about their little dogs. I just thought I'd say that. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to play do my commercials, and then when I come back, you'll be listening to Hunt Spankovi, and it's Obama's enforcer. It's going to be a very, very interesting interview. Check it out. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
In their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and then again, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 29 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSON, and I have Hans. And Hans, do me a favor, pronounce your last name again, because I had
it wrong. It's Von Spakovsky.
Spakovsky, I had it all wrong.
Well, you know, my dad didn't Englishify his name when he immigrated, so I still have
That's
that
okay.
odd last name.
And I actually enjoyed the story that you told about your parents in here. That was a really amazing story. Tell us a little bit about you, and how did you begin to start reading this book on Obama's enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department?
Well, you know, I worked at the Justice Department for 4 years, and also I had a great friend, John Fond, who has for years written about things going on at the Justice Department. And, you know, I was hearing all this stuff from people that I still know who work at the Justice Department today. And to make it clear, I was a career lawyer there. I was not a political appointee. And people were calling me up and saying, you just would not believe what's going on here. And, you know, I talked with John. I said, look, we really need to write about this, because the American people need to know what's going on there. And it's important for us to have a Justice Department that really is a place where the laws are enforced in a nonpartisan manner. I mean, I don't care if you're a liberal, a conservative, a moderate, or Republican, a Democrat. You want to be sure that the Attorney General is not enforcing the law in a politicized way.
Tell us a little bit about this department, Eric Holder's Justice Department, compared to those that are in the history of the Justice Department.
Well, look, what has changed is the way the department has been politicized throughout, from the bottom to the top, and how politics drives the prosecution decisions. Look, I'll be the first to tell you, we've had very good attorney generals in the past from both political parties, you know, Democrats and Republicans. But What has changed is Eric Holder is driven more by politics and ideology than the interests of justice. And you can see that in all kinds of cases and all kinds of actions that he has taken. And, you know, I was actually surprised at how many court cases we found that had been actually dismissed, thrown out by federal judges who then accused the department of engaging in prosecutorial abuse, and in some cases saying that it looked like a political prosecution, that politics was driving the decision to prosecute someone.
In your book, I had forgotten about the Fox News issue.
Oh yeah,
and I had here on the show we talk about how the issues of this administration is a page turner. Every week, every day is a different issue. And when you look at Eric Holder and his relationship with the president, it is you talked about how they met and how they became friends and how he holds the esteem of the president much higher than, you know, he should as the attorney general and not doing his job and fulfilling the purpose of what he's supposed to do there.
Yeah, he obviously sees himself as the president's lawyer. Look, they first met when the president was first elected as a senator from Illinois. They just clicked from the first moment, and that's Eric Holder's words, not ours. They had the same views, the same ideology, and it's very clear that the attorney general thinks of himself as part of the president's political team first, the attorney general second. And look, no one doubts or says that the attorney general is not handpicked by the president, that his responsibility is to carry out the priorities of the president. But there's a line the attorney general cannot cross, and that's because he's the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. That makes him very different from other cabinet members. He has to leave politics aside and make sure that justice is enforced in a neutral, nonpartisan manner. And when the president asks him to do things that cross that line, he has an obligation to say no to that. Unfortunately, Eric Holder won't say no to that.
When you talk about the contempt for the law, he is the first attorney general to be held in contempt of court. Of Congress. And I don't understand how, when you look at the writing of your book and you bring out all of the issues that come up, none of these tend to surface to actually become fulfilled to where we can actually put our teeth in it and say, this guy is not good for not only Washington and this administration, but for the United States and the people who reside here. Why is that? Why is he's not gone?
Well, because the president completely supports him. I mean, the president hasn't disagreed with any of the things he's done, has backed him up at every stage. And, in fact, Eric Holder is – look, we picked the name Obama's enforcer for a real reason. It wasn't just a catchy title, but he really is Obama's enforcer. Every time the president has ignored, twisted, broken, or tried to change the law, I mean, the person at his side – advising him and telling him how to do that is Attorney General Eric Holder. And so he's got the complete support of the president, and it's pretty tough. Yeah, look, you can't get rid of an attorney general when the president supports him. The only way to do that is through impeachment, and as you know, that's a very rare occurrence that hardly ever happens in American history.
And I don't think it's going to happen with this president, but I'm watching the lawsuit that's coming up against him, against Boehner. And I don't know if it has any teeth. And it looks as though our journalists will not bite. Well, they won't take it on. They won't take on the issues that you've brought out in your book, which is very, very frustrating to me.
But it's no surprise. If you think about it, look, if a Republican attorney general had done a quarter of the things that Eric Holder does, it would be front page news all over the United States.
Absolutely. So I don't. I mean, and as an African American, I can say this. We've used the race card when it doesn't belong here. There's a lot of mismanagement that has gone on here. And I don't know why the media won't call it out. I don't know why they will not expose it. There are different stories and different scenarios within the book where you see he strongholds and he changes and they usurp the law. Right now, even with the Supreme Court, and the judge is saying that it is unlawful, well, not the Supreme Court, but the justice is saying that it is unlawful for the president to start cherry-picking what he doesn't want to enforce inside of the law that Congress passed and he signed into law, even though he wants to strike things out with the Affordable Health Care Act. And instead of us actually going after what he's doing that is wrong, we go after him and say, we ought to be glad. This is what I heard yesterday. We ought to be glad that the president sees what's wrong as trying to change it.
Well,
why aren't we happy with that?
Yeah, well, I think what folks need to understand is that the only reason we have the freedom and prosperity that we've had for so long is because we've been a nation based on the rule of law. And if folks may like the policy outcomes of what they see now, but they ought to think about the fact that, look, the president and Eric Holder are establishing a precedent, and their precedent is that they don't have to abide by laws passed by a prior Congress, maybe signed by a prior president, that they don't like. And while liberals, for example, might like the policy outcomes, they should realize this is setting a precedent for a future president and a future perhaps a Republican attorney general who's going to come in and say, well, we don't like a particular law that was passed and signed into law by the prior president, President Obama, so guess what? We're not going to abide by it. And they won't like that, and that's what happens when you get away from the rule of law.
Tell us a little about the billion-dollar Pigford scam. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, the Pigford scam was started off as what was I think probably a legitimate lawsuit, and that was a small number of farmers, black farmers, sued the Department of Agriculture saying that they had not been given loans, agricultural loans, under the same conditions as white farmers. There were only a couple of hundred black farmers who were potential plaintiffs and victims in this case. But what happened was that, unfortunately, Barack Obama and others saw this as a way of buying votes, of paying reparations, and they set up this huge fund, and they set up a claims process where you could simply file a sworn statement with the court saying that at some point you had attempted to farm and you think you had been discriminated against, and guess what? You would get a payment of $50,000.
Huh?
And, oh, yeah. And the couple of hundred farmers expanded to literally thousands of people sending in claim forms, many of them from urban area cities where, of course, there were no farms. They ended up paying out literally hundreds of millions of dollars. One of the original farmers who filed this suit was really upset about the way this turned out because he said it was a big fraud. It was people who had never tried to farm getting huge amounts of money, but it was seen as a political payoff, and that's the way it was used. It was probably one of the biggest scams ever paid for by American taxpayers.
No, I want to be honest with you. I watch a lot of news. I read a lot of news. I remember when the farmers got the payout. I don't remember the report on the fraud.
Well, even it got so bad that even the New York Times, which, as you know, pretty liberal newspaper, even the New York Times did a huge investigative report that exposed the enormous amounts of fraud that had occurred in the settlement of this case. So even, like I said, it got so bad, even the New York Times started reporting on it.
But we don't say anything anymore?
No, I mean, all these people got away with it. No one's been prosecuted. And so basically billions of dollars were paid out, not just to black farmers, by the way. There was a second lawsuit filed on behalf of Indian, Hispanic, and women farmers. And that one, the White House directly told the Department of Justice, you will settle and you will pay off these claims, even though the lawyers of the Justice Department said that there's no case. They don't have any evidence that there was ever any discrimination. But, again, a payoff was made and was clearly made for political reasons.
I just find it so very, very fascinating when I was reading through this and going with my notes from the news and saying, look at everything that has just been buried and covered up and swept under the rug, and it keeps on just going away. And I need for somebody to stand up on the rooftop and scream, because with every time something like this happens, it erodes our freedoms as a nation.
Oh, I totally agree with you, but in some ways we're kind of overwhelmed because, as you said, there's something every day coming out of the administration. And in fact, listen, John Fund and I had that problem when we were writing the book. You know, we had a deadline to get the manuscript in, and every day almost something would come out of the Justice Department, something that Eric Holder had done, and we're going, well, gosh, we need to get that in the manuscript too.
Well, you did very good at putting it together to where it's concise and it's very, very detailed. The footnotes are very, very great. Thank you. I appreciate them. And just looking at how it's laid out, because it's a very easy read, but it's a very realistic read, because you can go back and cite the cases. You can go back and read up on it. And if you want to go and do the research, you can actually pull it down. You just didn't start telling a story without having the facts. And so I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing that.
What do we do besides? Seriously, what do we really do? How do we write this?
And you should be, look. It's very difficult. It is very difficult to do anything about it. Congress, you know, one of the only powers that Congress has to do anything about this is they have the oversight duties and responsibilities under the Constitution. So that means having hearings, trying to investigate, trying to get out into the public information about this. Look, the only other power they've really got is the power of the purse. And the power of the purse means they could, if they wanted to, try to cut certain parts of the appropriations budget, for example, for the Department of Justice, to make it clear to Eric Holder that they don't like what he's doing on particular cases and in particular areas. But even that, you know, as you know, that's very difficult for them to do.
I'm going to take some calls, if you don't mind. South Carolina, your mic is on. Good morning.
Good morning, Tracy. Good morning. This has been very, very interesting. And, it's listening has been very informative, but it's been extremely frustrating because it seems as if we're over a barrel and there's not a single thing that we can do about it except wait for another election. And you know, turnabout's fair play. When a Republican administration comes in and decides to do the same thing, I hope that does not happen, because it sends America down a road that we don't want to go down, you know, just abandon the Constitution and the president does whatever the heck he wants to, and he has the full power and force of the Justice Department and even the military, you know. So this has got to come to a screeching halt, period. That's scary stuff, though.
We're talking with the author of Obama's Enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department, and it's written by John, is it Fun?
Yep, it is.
And Hans von Koski?
You got it.
Ooh, good going. it's a very good read. It's a very informative read. And I would tell anyone, you can go to Barnes & Noble, you can go to Amazon, you can go to your bookseller, anywhere on the Internet you can find the book. It's anywhere books are sold. And pick it up and take a read. Are you on Audible yet? I believe you are. Han?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What was that?
Are you on Audible yet?
No, we're not. You can get the book. You can get the book, and you can also get a electronic version of it.
Okay. So, but you can download it, and you can find it at Amazon. You can get a Kindle version of it. How do you compare this attorney general versus the ones in the past, or even under the Nixon administration?
Well, it's funny you should say that because, in fact, one of the lawyers that we interviewed, and this was somebody, this is a veteran, a career lawyer. He was hired during the Clinton administration. He said to us that Eric Holder was the worst attorney general since Mitchell under Nixon. And I tell you, that's saying quite something because a lot of people believe that the Justice Department reached its lowest point when Mitchell was the head of the Justice Department. I think actually Eric Holder is worse because while Mitchell went to jail for things he did outside of the Justice Department, Eric Holder has really corrupted the department from the inside, you know, politicized the prosecution decisions and done all kinds of other things, for example, hurt national security because of the way he has tried to handle terrorists and because of the people that he has hired and put into the Justice Department.
Can you elaborate just a little bit on that for a moment? Because I wrote a little yellow bus to school, and so I'm a little short-sighted.
Well, I'll give
you
an example.
Why would anyone do that?
Well, before he became Attorney General during the Bush administration, he was extremely critical of the way the Bush administration handled terrorists. He basically didn't want to treat terrorism as a war. He wanted terrorists treated as ordinary criminals. He made that very clear. And so as soon as he got in, he returned the Justice Department to the criminal model of handling terrorists. And that means that rather than when you get a terrorist, trying to interrogate them so you can find out who they're working for, who their compatriots are, to try to prevent further attacks, he insisted, no, you can't do that. You have to immediately read them their Miranda rights because they have to be treated like criminals, not like terrorists warring on the U.S. And that's extremely dangerous. That's the model that the Clinton administration used for terrorism, and a lot of people blame that for the intelligence failures that led to 9/11 and, as you know, almost 3,000 Americans being killed. The other thing he's done is he's hired into the National Security Division at the Justice Department all these lawyers who pro bono went and volunteered to help try to get the terrorists we hold at Gitmo out and have them freed. And that's like hiring mob lawyers to work in the Organized Crime Task Force, or it's like hiring lawyers who represented the Ku Klux Klan and put them into the Civil Rights Division.
Okay, so now, if I'm not mistaken, Miranda rights come with citizenship.
Yes, they do. But
and
he wants
who
to
come
give
in from overseas. They're not citizens. They're not even naturalized citizens.
No,
so why
and particularly
would we extend that to them?
Well, particularly when you're talking about people that are arrested overseas, you know, and you catch them on the battlefield, and yet he wants them treated like ordinary criminals. It's just a real mistake. You mentioned James Rosen too. You know, the other thing that he's done is they have opened up all kinds of leak investigations. In fact, more investigations than any prior attorney generals combined. But there's a pattern to these. They have no problem prosecuting low-level government employees who have been found to have leaked classified information to reporters. But when those leaks have come out of the White House, when we know that they came out of the White House and were clearly being leaked to try to make the president look good, to make him look tough, particularly prior to the re-election, guess what? Eric Holder ignores those leaks and nobody gets prosecuted.
That's crazy.
Well, it is, but again, it shows how politics drives what he does, not the best interests of justice and frankly, national security.
When I look at Eric Holder's past, how much does that, you know, you talked about his wife and how he was raised, how he was an overachiever, how he, you know, how he was driven and very, very smart, and he didn't really feel the racial inequity as his wife had. And because of her history and their marriage, how he is a little bit now, it's almost like he drives on the guilt that he did not feel.
Well, I couldn't put it better myself. I think you've analyzed the situation very well. Look, he grew up in New York City. He did very well. He was such a good student that he went to one of the best high schools in the city, that he went on to Columbia and other schools. So he really never had any of the kind of problems that African Americans growing up in the southern states did, certainly in the 1950s and 60s. His wife, however, her sister was one of the students who helped break the color barrier at a southern university, and she, in speeches she has given and other things she said, is clearly very, very bitter. And in fact, at one point she said that the way we were treating terrorists at Gitmo was exactly the way we treated American blacks in the South during Jim Crow. That's kind of the comparison that she's had. And that bitterness and that attitude clearly has infected the Attorney General. You can see that in the speeches he gives. You can see that in the things that he has said on many occasions.
But you would think with coming from a life that you did not feel it, and even if you are married and or – because I can speak to the injustices of black people in America from experience and from non-experience. But my goal in life is to change that so that we make a better future, to realize that all people of that are white are not bad, and that all people that are black are not good, and vice versa, and to overcome our differences with our commonalities and move forward for a better future.
Well, look, I agree with you completely, but the Attorney General clearly doesn't agree with that.
Okay.
And I think
how does that happen? You wrote about this guy. How does that happen?
How do you not
want to make America better? When you get that far up the food chain, how do you not want to make what you have accessible to all?
Well, I think he believes that that folks in the nation haven't yet paid for what was done in the past, and that it's continuing even today, and that payment has to be made. And you can see that in, for example, something that happened at the beginning of the administration, which I think is very telling. Most people know about the voter intimidation case that was filed against the New Black Panther Party in Philadelphia. Remember, they were standing in front of a polling place in black paramilitary outfits, holding nightsticks. They were yelling racial epithets at voters trying to get in. The Justice Department filed a lawsuit against them, and the Holder administration, very quietly, as soon as they got in, what did they do? They dismissed the suit. And the reason they dismissed it very clearly was because the defendants in this voter intimidation case were black. And they did not believe that the Voting Rights Act should be used against them. It should not only be used to protect minorities, Asians and Hispanics, African Americans whose voting rights are threatened or who are intimidated, and it should not be used to protect anyone else. Now, that law is race neutral, and it needs to be enforced in a race neutral manner. I don't care what your race is. If you're threatened at a polling place, the Justice Department needs to come in and protect you. But that is not the attitude of Eric Holder.
That's just amazing. That's just amazing. I mean, I know you're telling the truth. I can honestly, objectively say, you're telling the truth. Right now, Eric Holder has decided to go in on a lawsuit against our Secretary of State here about voter suppression. And I don't know if you know, in Ohio, we have 35 days to vote. We send out a absentee ballot request, which is no fault. So all you have to do is fill it out, send it in, and we will automatically send you a ballot to your home. If you put it in the back of the post office, it'll get to the Board of Elections. If you choose to drop it off, you can do it that way. If it put a stamp on it, it'll get there. If you don't put a stamp on it, it will still arrive. And because we at the Board of Elections need to reconcile our books before they go out to the polling locations on the following Tuesday of election, we shut down over the weekend, and they're screaming foul. That it is a law that was put in by a Republican legislator, signed by a Republican governor, with no Democrat signing on to it and or no Democrat actually voting in favor of the law in general. Yet they are trying to say that here in Ohio there is voter suppression, which is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, yeah, but they're making the same claim in other states, too, and they're doing it in the face of all the evidence showing that what they're saying isn't true. You know, for example, that, look, states that have put in voter ID laws have had their turnout go up, not down, after the voter ID laws have gone in place. And, in fact, in places like Georgia, the turnout of black voters went up at a faster rate than that of white voters. So it's pretty, it's very, really very clear that voter ID does not in any way depress turnout, keep people from getting from the polls. But yet he is launching lawsuits, again, using his power as the Attorney General, against these kind of laws all over the country. And it's costing us a lot of money. People may know, you know, South Carolina put in a voter ID law. Eric Holder objected. This was prior to the 2012 election. The Attorney General of South Carolina went to court and beat Eric Holder. Three-judge panel said, look, this law is not discriminatory. It's not going to keep anybody from getting to the polls. But it cost South Carolina $3.5 million to fight Eric Holder just to get that law in place. And unfortunately, this is continuing in other states, including in places like Ohio.
I want to thank you for your time this morning. It's talking with you, the time that you and your partner John put into writing this book, to tell people that want to know the truth and facts about what's going on in our administration, because it does affect our country. It affects us whether indirectly or directly.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for having me on.
And you can find it at anywhere books are sold. It's available in e-books. And again, the name of it is called Obama's Enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. Thank you so much, Hans Van Spakovsky? No.
Spakovsky.
Spakovsky. God bless you and have a good day, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Declare your apartment or rental house a bummer-free zone with renter's insurance from Grange. It protects the contents of your home from such major hassles as theft, weather, and plumbing mishaps for just pennies a day.
Let Crab Insurance Agency, your Grange independent agent, show you how a Grange rental policy is an even better bargain when paired with Grange auto coverage. Call Crab Insurance Agency at 330-332-1586.
Products not available in all states.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. Despite a threat from the Ohio Democratic Party to impose sanctions, the local party chairman is not backing down. Chairman Dan Polifka is fighting back, says his party has a right to use secret ballots, and he won't be moved to change their process, a process in which was used over the weekend to narrow down the party selection of two candidates for county commissioner. The state party has cut off resources to all Trumbull County Democratic candidates as a result. A gas leak prompted authorities to shut down a portion of Elm Road and evacuate a business for about an hour in the area of the old Walmart store Monday afternoon. First responders were called to the 2,000 block of Elm Road after a gas line was ruptured in the area where a new Menard store is being built. Hazmat experts and crews from Dominion East Ohio were dispatched to the area. There were no reports of injury. The road was open again just before 3 p.m. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Children surviving and not dying at the hands of troglodytes.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
330-781-9600.
Most serious kind, and about 10% of those cases are directly linked to indoor tanning. Lushniak says all states should ban minors from using tanning beds, and outside this report says we should all cover up or wear sunscreen.
ABC's Scott Goldberg. A three-hour boat tour turned into a long night at sea off the Massachusetts coast. For 157 passengers, they were on a whale-watching boat, which left Boston yesterday. It got stranded on a lobster trap rope. Passenger Amy Ewald is not happy.
My first time out on the ocean, and probably my last for a very long time.
The boat was freed from that rope. The passenger's now back on dry land. The Federal Reserve is starting a two-day meeting this morning. It's considering what to do about interest rates and the money supply. This is ABC News.
Cloud may be just another overused buzzword, but the cloud is an effective computing environment that can save your business time and money. Barracuda Networks is no stranger to the cloud. In fact, all of our security and storage solutions connect to the cloud for continuous updates and off-site redundancy. Barracuda's cloud also plays host to our email security, web security, file sharing, and e-signing services. We even offer solutions on Amazon's AWS and Microsoft's Azure public cloud platforms. To try any of our cloud-connected solutions free, visit barracuda.com/cloud.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
A new government report says the release of carbon dioxide into the air from factory smokestacks as well as cars could put a risk to the red king crab and other lucrative fisheries in Alaska. Ocean water becomes more acidic when it absorbs carbon dioxide released by human and other sources. New report out today on the cost of college and the bang for your buck. The price of college keeps rising. Here's what officials say about that.
They all try to say, well, you know, consider it an investment in your future.
That's Kim Clark, who writes about higher education in Money Magazine. Its new survey did a cost-benefit analysis of colleges. Number one?
It's Babson College in Massachusetts, and they specialize in training entrepreneurs and people who go into business.
With good results.
It's an expensive school, but on average, within 5 years, their graduates are reporting earnings of about $60,000.
Clark says consider college a long-term proposition. Richard Davies, ABC News.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Wow.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Jeff is here with me now. And the number is 347-945-5229. It's 7 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the 29th of July, 2014. And I want to thank Hans Vankoski. And it's a great book, and if you want to read about Eric Holder, like him, like President Obama, hate President Obama, you know, think he's the best, think he's the worst. Reading both sides of the equation, getting all the facts, getting all the information, doing the research will benefit you in the long run. And you guys know, you know, as I said, you know, he gave a good speech the other day to some young kids about dreaming and getting an education, and, you know, I applauded him for that. But that which I disagree with is going to destroy the fabric of the United States of America that I know and the patriotism that I stand for, and it bothers me. And so we will continue to bring people on, whether you disagree or agree with them, because this is bad. This is not good. And let me say this to people of color. It would behoove you to take my advice and go out and start really trying to drive yourself forward independently of any government system and getting involved inside of the process. Because, as a friend of mine says, you know, wake up, because man up, because no one's coming to save you.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me what I'm saying. You don't understand that they are playing with you. They are using you. And they're getting ready to spit you out. And when they get done spitting you out, whether it be Republican and or Democrat, if you don't have a leg to stand on, they will not give you a crutch. Hey, what'd you say, Eric?
That's why I'm so upset about this whole Trumbull County Commissioner deal, because this, I don't know what Politico's up to, but this thing's high heaven, and nobody in this community is really paying attention to it.
Nobody cares. They don't know. They don't even know what's going on.
Well, he's forcing an open vote, open ballot vote.
He has to.
Why does he have to?
Because Redfern said he did.
No. He's forcing an open, a closed ballot vote.
He forced a closed ballot vote.
Which is the way, I'll tell you the truth, I hate to say it, but that's the way that any ballot is supposed to be done.
You would think so.
Well, it is.
You would think so.
And it is, because that's the American way. The ballot is supposed to be, very secret. You know, we go through great, great pains during voting on voting day to make sure nobody can look over somebody else's shoulder and see how they're voting or this, that, and the other. And their ballot is secret.
But see, let me say this, Jeff. You are correct in what you're saying if the process had been completely a blind ballot, But it wasn't. They had an open and a closed ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So they had an open ballot until it got down to who they wanted, and then they had a closed ballot until they got down to who they wanted, and then they open the ballot up.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Or vice versa. No. The process should be the same. So if you have a closed ballot,
mm-hmm.
which I think it should be,
yeah.
then it should have been a closed ballot from the beginning to the end. What they did was they had a closed ballot, and then they opened it up to a public ballot.
Well, I mean.
You understand? So weeding out, so I think they went through three votes.
I think it's just the opposite.
No.
I think that Politico wanted on the last one to have a closed ballot, which they did.
Right.
And
right.
When nobody knows how anybody voted.
Correct. But they had two open ballots on the way up.
Which is okay. That's like a nominating process.
They weren't nominating then. They were filtering, and you got to understand Trumbull County politics. There is dirty low anyhow.
Well, Trumbull Mahoney County politics is dirty low on the one side because that's all the sides you have. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so therefore that's what you see going to jail.
They not going to jail. They're going to get censored by their own party. And how they going to do a get out the vote?
What's going on here?
That means you didn't turn the ringer off.
It's like that song, Tracy, it's a family affair.
Absolutely, and you're not in the family. Can you call Cinderella and ask her how she felt? I'm serious. Cinderella. People think Cinderella, and you know what makes it so bad? Cinderella owned everything that her father left. But because she did not know it, her stepmother took advantage of her. Case in point. We don't know how much power we have. We don't know what to do with what we have. And so we allow other people to use us and abuse us because we still don't know who we are. And we don't know how to go down to the court system and kick our stepmother out the house and my stepsister. So if not, I do the grunt work for them. That's a wonderful story of how we allow things to happen in our world. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but I don't want to speak any too much more on the subject because I have to live in this town.
Yeah, you can't sell your house. You're landlocked. Don't worry about it. We got your back. Hey, the number is 347-945-52 tonight. Good morning, Pianchi. What'd you say, South Carolina?
I guess she's not talking to you this morning, Tracy.
Oh,
I guess she's not
well.
Talking to you this morning.
It's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind.
Tracy, I tell you what. The Russians are doing their thing again. They're launching cruise missiles now.
So
what's
wrong with that?
And there's a lot wrong with it.
There's a lot wrong with it. What is wrong with that?
Putin is a throwback to the 1970s and 80s.
And your point is?
He's just making us make Obama look just impotent.
And
so he's,
and
he's not going to do anything.
Who's not going to do anything?
Obama. The Obama administration.
What can he do?
Oh, he can do a whole lot.
No, what can he do?
He can do a whole
lot. He doesn't want to do anything.
No, that's the whole. That's exactly what it is. This is don't. Please, everybody under the sound of my voice that remembers that I said this before, this is, hey, tell Putin I'll be a little more flexible after the election.
What's he flexible on?
There you go.
He's flexible on letting Putin do whatever the heck he wants to do.
So
in other words, I'm going to shrink my military so you can do what you want.
Why would the leader of the free world named President Barack Obama do that? For another country who is not your kissing cousin.
For the reason, same reason. Well, let somebody else answer that one.
Hey, Jeff, mm-hmm. You want to sign a birthday card?
Yeah, right. I'll be like Ben's friend that owned the building out there.
You guys are bad.
Unless it's got an IED in it, I don't want to sign it. This is craziness, I'm telling you.
This ain't crazy. This is just...
Now, listen,
This is not crazy. Relax. I'm trying to tell you. We got Eric Holder, and Eric Holder is holding down the basket for us.
Tracy, I never was in combat, but I almost went to combat in if we had had a problem in Iraq when we had the hostages taken.
Okay.
When I swore on that line that I was going to uphold the Constitution of the United States and guard the United States with my life, I meant it. I wasn't playing around. I understood it. I was 3 years out of high school when I went into the service. So I understood it.
But look, what I'm coming to realize from reading this book and reading about President Obama and the people that he has around him, what he is trying to do is he's trying to punish Americans, punish America for all the wrong they've ever done. And he thinks that he is the judge. And in his mind, when he says, we made this decision, he clears it with himself to make things the way they are. Because he believes that we're the ones who have wronged the world,
mm-hmm.
and we need to get a butt whooping for doing it. That's pretty much how this relates.
Well, don't forget, in his books, for you to fundamentally change America, you have to fundamentally destroy America. Which is just about where we're at. You only have a few bastions of ability to recover from this. There's only a couple things. God can be miraculously do it, of course, but if you're talking about natural order of things, you're in trouble.
So tell me,
you're in trouble.
We know. Why won't we wake up? Because we're in. I mean, we're in trouble. We understand that. But why will we not wake up and realize that we're in trouble?
Well, most of the people are awake now.
They're not awake.
Yeah, you got 40% not awake.
You got more than 40.
No, he's only got 40%.
No, that's
any poll.
But the polls don't tell you the people. The polls just tell you a scientific notion of who they think they represent. But if you look outside. Because if this other 60% was really awake, they would be a revolt, and there is none.
No, there's no revolt because nobody believes what anybody else says. That here's the thing: if you don't believe me when I tell you that you can't recover from $18 trillion, it's going to be $20 trillion if he goes two more years. You're not going to be able to recover from that.
Well, you can't recover from that.
You can't possibly.
There's no. I mean, we almost couldn't recover from that in the 2012 election. If you really look at it, that because we were at 17 or 16 trillion then.
You're at 16 trillion, 16 and a half trillion.
You can't.
They didn't care. Nobody cared because they thought they were getting things.
What were
like
they getting?
Told you about the farmers. They promised everything. They promised you. You know, remember when he told them to sit down and shut up and get back on your post when the black people started talking about you haven't done anything for the black community?
Oh, well, no, they slapped Maxine Waters
asleep. Charlie Rangel. And they made sure because those were the only ranking members. You have no black people with any power in America.
Either they're dead or they're
censored. Right, and don't call the president black people because he doesn't have the power that you think he has because he's owned by the cabal that put him in.
Is he owned or is he?
Absolutely.
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know if he's owned. Come here, because if you look at Eric Holder and talking about the Pigford Fund,
mm-hmm.
that's amazing. I didn't know I could just send in a paper and get $50,000.
I wish I had known, because I sure would have tried it.
I could have just wrote my name on a piece of paper, sent it to Washington, and I'd have got a check in the mail. Come on now.
You tried to farm. Go in your backyard and dig it up.
Dig a hole.
Kill your grass in a square.
Absolutely.
And you try to farm.
I mean, we're from the sharing line. We're all trying to farm.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. Everybody got a farm. Tell me if that does not make sense.
I got a garden. Am I entitled? Yeah, am I entitled?
That's what I'm saying. No one, I don't think anyone knew that. We thought, and then they expanded it to women?
Indians and
Latinos.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet a good portion of those folks that got that money worked on the Obama campaign.
You know what? I never thought of that.
And you have the redistribution of wealth.
Yeah, but the wealth didn't trickle down or trickle up. It didn't trickle.
No, it did. It did. It went out to those farmers that probably didn't deserve, you know, not much.
But he said some of these people that actually filed claims lived in the cities.
Yeah,
they wasn't farmers.
They weren't farmers.
They were. Oh no, they were urban
farmers.
Urban gardeners. Don't worry. Yes, they were. We got it. Okay, we got it straight. They were urban farmers.
Tracy, I know one of the farmers who got the money, but he didn't get $50,000. He only got $10,000. Because that was the amount of the loan that he asked for. He didn't get nowhere near $50,000.
Oh, he got cheated. Tell him he wanted his rebate.
He just said he wanted the money that he could have gotten. That was $10,000.
He wasn't trying to cheat him. See, that's a good thing.
No.
It's just amazing.
Years old, so.
Honest man.
This is absolutely ludicrous, and you know I know a lot of people listen to us, and even a lot of people that listen don't agree with us.
You don't have to agree; you got to hear it,
yeah,
and then go research it.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, they can go research it. There's information out there. It's not like we're bringing people on that doesn't have. You don't have to agree lock, stock, and barrel, but you need to open up your eyes and see what's going on in your world and around you because it's affecting you.
And you're getting played.
Absolutely.
You're
I'm telling y'all,
played.
When President Obama goes out of office.
Has he been in a black community again yet?
No.
No.
No. No. He ain't got to do that. Why would you do something that you don't have to do if you don't have to do it?
Well, no, but he's looking to build a house in Chicago. Is that in a black community?
Absolutely. He's going to build a house in Chicago. Don't worry about it.
Why go to work? Yeah, why go to work when they're going to pay you anyway?
He's building one in California, too.
He's going to build in South Central?
No, it's not anywhere near South
Central. Yes, it is. It's going
to
be.
No, I hate to tell you. It's right on the Nevada line where they have those golf courses. It's in the golf course valley.
Yes, he's going to build it in the hood.
Okay, and where is he going to build the one he's building in Hawaii?
In the hood.
Oh, there's no hood in Hawaii.
There's a hood. There's always a hood.
Hood in Hawaii.
Listen, President Obama is going to come out the White House, and he's going to be almost as flat broke as a Clinton, and the Clinton's going to build a house, Bill Clinton went to Harlem.
Tracy,
yes?
How can you be flat broke when you
listen in tomorrow.
The rest of your life.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen in tomorrow, because tomorrow we're going to do Clinton Inc., they're going to tell you how you're going to be flat broke and be a Clinton. Oh, yeah. Good book. I'm telling you, I'm reading the book from cover to cover. Good book. Flat broke. You got to listen to it because he talks about that inside of the book, and it's really telling because I did not realize during the impeachment process because it was a personal impeachment. The legal fees that were owed did not come from this American taxpayer. It had to come from Bill Clinton and his family. Now, see, flat broke. See, it's nice to be flat broke knowing you got a checky check on the way.
Yeah.
But he was flat broke because he didn't have no money in his pocket. You got to understand how you describe flat. Now, see, my broke is...
He only had probably about a couple hundred thousand in his pocket.
Yeah, but he was like millions of dollars in debt.
Yeah.
You got to understand, Jeff, see, flat broke. See, when you got a checky check coming on the other end, then you're flat broke. See, like you know you got a check coming in on the first.
Mm-hmm.
So you only flat broke for 2 days, and then you know you got a check. Mm-hmm. My flat broke, when I'm broke, I got to go chase the money and pray... You know, Lord, let it stretch. See, you know, you got money. Don't think. Don't think, because when you think about money,
I got to ride down on somebody.
You got to go chase. See, when you got to go chase down the dollar, it's different.
I hate chasing dollars.
You got
I
to chase the dollar.
And I don't want to chase
dollars. Yeah, you have to chase because you.
I want dollars to chase me now.
You don't have to chase dollars because you're rich.
I wish I was rich.
You are.
Oh, I'm not rich
yet. You flat broke like the Clintons. See,
No. I'm not rich yet.
I'm flat broke like the rest of the people in America.
No. I really believe that one day I will be.
Our next guest is going to tell us how to save ourselves and my family from the criminal conspiracy of the century.
Yeah.
Because if the agenda goes the way the administration plans, things ain't going to get better. You know, say, ooh, child, it's not going to get better.
It's not going to get easier.
It's not going to get easier, nor is it going to get better. And that's something that we need to wake up to, because the erosion of the middle class and what's going on with us as a whole is really very telling. I told you I went to the grocery store the other day and got, you know, three bags.
A bag of
air. That's it, three bags.
It's just like buying a bag of chips, you know, you get those chips.
You know, that's a mess.
There's about five chips in the bottom of a big old $3.99 bag or $6.99 bag. You get five chips and all the rest of it's filled up with air.
That's amazing, ain't it? Lay's potato chips jipping people.
Oh man, do you go get you call the names now?
Yeah, I call the names out. They need to be called out. They messed up.
I wish they'd bring that tomato basil back. That was a good potato chip. But I don't need to eat potato chips. I'm just sorry. I'm looking at this how the penalties for being uninsured can be as high as $12,240 per person. They know good and doggone well nobody can afford this, and when your deductibles are $2,000 and $3,000 like that, you don't have any health care.
That's just a
catastrophic plan. That's it.
Tell me this. What'd you say, Eric?
If you did, I mean, with a $3,000 deductible, if you need any type of major treatment, you're done.
No, you don't. No, don't worry about it, because you then have your medical savings plan that you can only get if you have a high deductible. But if you don't have a high deductible, you can't have a medical savings plan. So while you have money coming in, you can't save up for your medical in case you need it later on.
I have a medical savings plan.
Hey, Tracy.
If that lets you know anything.
What'd you say?
My assistant has written a letter to President Obama and told him that in no way, shape, form, or fashion that was she going to sign up for Obamacare, even though she's eligible. Nobody's going to make her do anything. If he really wants to, he can come and lock her up right now. He's not going to do it. He refuses to. And this is a woman that calls herself a liberal.
What, she didn't like it?
Yeah, I mean, how can you save for the private account when you're paying $700 a month premiums?
Easy.
Can't do it.
Don't worry about it. I mean, if you really think about it, they're not. The guy who's coming on, I'm going to take my break, and when I come back, we're talking with Wayne Allen Root, and we're going to be talking about the murder of the middle class and how to save yourself and your family from criminal conspiracy of the century. The number here is 347-945-5229. It'll shed some light on where we are financially and how we got here and hopefully how we can get out of it alive. We'll be right back.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit family. Unique. Individualized. Owning a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit family on Route 46 in Austin Town. Designed.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this
trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
It's baseball time, Scrappers fans. The Scrappers return to Eastwood Field for a three-game homestand against the State College Spikes July 27th through the 29th. Highlighting the homestand is Kids Run the Show Night, a T-shirt giveaway, wellness night, ladies night, and team autograph session. For more information, call 330-505-0000. Friend them on Facebook or visit them at mvscrappers.com. The Scrappers 2014 season is presented by Subway of Niles. Scrappers Baseball. Baseball with bite.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff's in the studio with me, and here we have on with us Wayne Allen Root, and he is the author of Death of the Middle Class. It is no accident. It's murder. Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
Hey, Tracy, I also want to make sure we get the name right. It's actually the murder of the middle class, not the death of the middle class. But the middle class is certainly in death throes, so I can understand how those two get complicated. It's the murder of the middle class, and as of today, it's the fifth best-selling political book in the United States of America.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell me, how can I help? Tell me, what do you mean? It's not by accident. What do you mean? You keep on this book.
it's murder is means it was intended. Murder
yeah,
is, you know, this
it,
is.
It is intended, and I don't know that, you know, most of the people involved in it don't really want to kill the middle class financially. What they want to do is control the middle class, and I blame a lot of people. I blame President Obama. I blame a lot of establishment Republicans. I blame millionaire businessmen, famous ones like Warren Buffett. I blame corporate CEOs. I blame the Federal Reserve and Wall Street bankers and government employee unions and a lot of lawyers, the Bar Association. All of them together are helping each other to create what I call a two-class society with just the only two groups left, the super rich and the corporate elite, and everybody else is poor and dependent on government. And that's the way they like it. People are becoming more dependent on government. And all my liberal friends, by the way, who argue, I get arguments from both Republicans and Democrats, but my liberal friends who like Obama who argue with me, they can't say anything anymore because the latest studies are out. And even though Obama's entire life is about inequality, he claims inequality's gotten much, 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 much worse under President Barack Obama.
So how does that happen? I mean, think about that. He was supposed to help. Remember when he first ran, it was going to be hope and change. He was going to take care of everybody. He was going to redistribute wealth. Everybody was going to win.
Yeah. Well, there is no everybody winning in any scenario, and that's the first tip-off, number one. Life is the way it is. It's a difficult battle, and anyone who tells you everybody wins, anyone who says you can add 40 million people, up to 40 million people to the healthcare system, and it won't cost you anything, is lying to you, and I don't know why people didn't realize that. I mean, here's the thing. President Obama said, and I quote, if you like your insurance, you can keep it, and millions of people lost it. I lost mine a week ago. So nobody could say I don't have a personal witness to this. My insurance was canceled a week ago, and Aetna's letter said very simply, because of the mandates of Obamacare, we can't afford to keep you anymore. Now, keep in mind, Tracy, no one in my family's ever been sick. Not a day in our lives has anyone in my family had a single serious illness, and we just got canceled because they can't afford us anymore. On the day Obama became president, my health insurance was $500 a month. Today, it's $1,700 a month for my family of six here in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I live. Explain to me how I was helped by any of the policies currently in the healthcare system. What helped me when it went from $500 to $1,700 and the insurance company claims they can't afford me anymore at $1,700? So now my new policy will be what, $2,500 a month? Will I pay $30,000 a year to insure my family? That's the cost of bringing 30 million to 40 million new people into the system and giving them free health care, is that the middle class has to pay for it, and we're getting wiped out, which I wouldn't even mind, Tracy, if someone had told the truth and said it and everyone got a chance to vote on it, knowing that your rates would be doubled or tripled to allow someone else to get free health care. But, of course, there was fraud committed to get everybody to agree to this because no one could admit that everyone's rates would be doubled or tripled, or the middle class would never have voted for it in the first place.
So why is that? I mean, think about that. That's just common sense. It's not rocket science. Yet we're still not doing that which is necessary because we still see the lies and the disingenuousness of the administration, as well as a lot of politicians, as well as a lot of businessmen, not
Correct.
Making sure that America is building. Because right now we're not building.
Right. Well, listen, I've written a very fair book, Murder of the Middle Class. I may attack Obama a lot, but I attack Republicans and establishment Republicans, and I also attack big business and Warren Buffett. And there's very few people that have thrown them all off the bus, and I have, under the bus, I should say, because they're all guilty. Let me give you a great example. So, you know, conservatives generally like big business and rich guys like Warren Buffett. I don't. I don't think they have our best interests in mind. Even happy little old Uncle Warren Buffett, who tries to give the image that he's on our side, here's what I think. Warren Buffett is best friends with President Obama. He supports everything Obama does. He supported Obamacare. He supports tax increases on the rich. Warren Buffett spends all his time saying he doesn't pay enough taxes. He's a great example. And then what does he get in return for that? It's tit for tat. You got to get something, or nobody does anything for nothing, especially super rich billionaires. So what Warren Buffett gets is anything he wants. Barack Obama gives him anything he wants. So what's the number one gift Warren wants under the tree? He wants the Keystone Pipeline to be killed. It would create 20,000 jobs to build it. It would create thousands of jobs to keep it going. It would add $3 billion to the economy. It would lower all of our gas prices, and yet he wants it killed. So for 6 years in a row, Barack Obama has killed the Keystone Pipeline, even though his own State Department says there's no environmental impact whatsoever. There's not a reason in the world to kill it. But Obama kills it because Warren Buffett wants it killed. Why does Warren Buffett want to kill? Because if you don't have a Keystone Pipeline, the only way to move oil across the country is via railroad. And who owns the biggest railroad in America? Warren Buffett. So last year, Warren Buffett in 1 year made $12.7 billion. You heard what I just said. $12.7 billion in addition to the $50 billion he already had. 12 in 1 year, folks. How much money did all of you make because of Obama's policies? Anybody listening right now, did anyone make an extra $1.50? Warren Buffett made $12.7 billion with a B. So I don't see this as a pro-poor person economy. I don't see it as a help black Americans or Latino Americans economy, and it certainly isn't help middle-class Americans economy. It's help the richest billionaires in the world economy.
But I thought he was for the little people.
Yeah. I don't think, by the way, I'm going to be fair. I am, by nature, a fiscal conservative, but I don't think either Republicans or Democrats give a damn about any little people, and anyone who says they do is lying. The reality is, to get elected, you need gigantic checks, and the only people that write them are big corporations and lawyers and lobbyists in Washington, D.C. And so all of these guys, Tracy, are bought and paid for by major lobbyists, and the only difference is Republicans claim that they're for the little people, and Obama claims he's for the little people, and I think that in reality, the one who's lying the most, in my opinion, are the Democrats and Obama, because they have to be lying, because you can't help little people while you're collecting $1 billion in campaign donations. At least Republicans kind of admit that they're for business, which includes big business. So I don't always agree with Republicans, especially on the corporatism and the crony capitalism, but at least they admit they're pro-business. Democrats say they're against business, and yet they're taking even bigger contributions than Republicans. It's obscene what's happening. That is the murder of the middle class.
Let me ask you this. Why is it that the middle class does not know that they're being killed?
Well, I mean, they're busy working and earning a living, Tracy. I think that's the main reason. And I think also our public school systems have dumbed the people down. I will admit to you, I really do believe they've dumbed the people down to the point they don't know what's best for them anymore. Look, my insurance is canceled. My prices are up from $500 to $1,700. My taxes are up. My electric bills are at all-time highs. My grocery bills are at all-time highs. My taxes are up. My health care premium's up. When you add it all together, and IRS audits are much higher than they've been under any president before, there's an attack on small business. That's what I am, a small businessman with a couple of employees, and I am under siege. My revenue's down, my taxes up, my health insurance up, my electric and grocery bills up. Explain to me, how would I survive? Well, I think that's the plan. We're not supposed to survive. That way, we're all under government control, and that way, right, small business goes out of business, and big business has no competition. So everybody's in it to wreck small business and the little guy.
Exactly. That's why you have this push for minimum wage, per se. If minimum wage raging, if you do that, what do? You make Costco, you make Walmart and all of them just the big kids on the block, and the little businesses fold because they can't possibly keep that up.
Bingo. You got it exactly. That's exactly right. So something that sounds like it's for the middle class and the average American actually hurts them badly in two ways. Number one, every small business, is hurt badly by raising a minimum wage dramatically. We all know we want reasonable increases in the minimum wage, but the reality is that if you raise it dramatically like they'd like to do from $7 to over $10, you would just wreck small business and you'd put millions of middle class people out of work. And big business would have no problem at all because Costco and Walmart have no problem raising their rates, raising their prices all the way around, an extra 10 cents here, 20 cents there, so that they can afford the minimum wage, and they put their competition out of business. Then when their competition, small business, is out of business for a year or two, guess what they do? they go ahead and they make sure they fire a bunch of employees because now they don't care. They have no competition. Nobody's watching them. They're in control of the world. And so we know that minimum wages are bad for us. Let's just fire a bunch of people. So all minimum wage does is it makes sure that an awful lot of people are locked out of the employment market. There's no more teenagers getting a job, and that's why at this very moment in time you have such high youth unemployment in Europe. Europe is big on living wages, and Europe is big on free health care, and Europe is big on gigantic taxes. If all of that worked, how would anyone explain why Greece and Italy and Spain and Portugal are completely bankrupt, their economies completely wrecked, and unemployment 28%, youth unemployment 56% to 60% in those countries? So does a living wage and high minimum wage work, or does it lock everyone out of the workforce so no one has a job in the first place?
Why would we allow this? I mean, seriously, who would do this? Because right now you hear the war on the middle class because of wage inequality, because of gender inequality, war on women, gender inequality, war on the race, black inequality. Can you? But the numbers are staggering in the African American community, which are still double digit when it comes to unemployment. The numbers are still going up when it comes to, you know, people who are receiving public assistance.
Right. Look, the numbers are horrible, Tracy. I've got the facts laid out in my book, The Murder of the Middle Class. China has now passed America based on consumer spending as the world's number one economy. That's the first time since 1872 that we haven't been the world's number one economy. For the first time in history, America's middle class isn't number one in the world. Canada's middle class passed us last year. Is this Wayne Root talking? No. This is the New York Times gives that information to us. Canada's middle class passed us. For the first time in American history, more businesses go bankrupt each day and close their doors than start up each day. That's never happened in the history of America. And I could go on and on and quote you chapter and verse. Only 31% of Americans are working full-time. 20% of American families don't have a single member who's employed. The average full-time male employee now earns less, adjusted for inflation, than 40 years ago. 53% of all college graduates in America under the age of 25 are either unemployed or underemployed. 53% of college graduates. What chance does anyone have who isn't a college graduate? None. The net worth of the average family is down 38% since 2003. So it's not just a Democratic issue. Bush was president in 2003 through 2008, and then in 2009, Obama took over. So since 2003, with two presidents, one Republican, one Democrat, the average family's net worth is down a whopping 38%. These are all facts. That was reported in the New York Times yesterday. And the number of Americans living in poverty in the suburbs have risen by 63% since the year 2000. Folks, something isn't working. Somebody's lying to you. Obviously, someone's out to ruin your life and make you dependent on government, because once they take enough of your money away in higher electric bills, higher health insurance bills, higher taxes, all the above, higher grocery prices, at that point, you have no money left, so you're dependent on a check from government, and then they assume you will always vote for the politician that promises to keep the checks coming and promises to make them bigger. That's called dependency.
How do we stop this train? I'm serious. I'm so serious, because I agree with you, and we talk about this often. And you have laid it out very, very well inside of your book, Murder of the Good Middle Class. Tell me, how do we stop this? I mean, I do not want to be dependent upon anyone except for my God.
Putting America and
I don't. I want to be free. I like America. I want freedom. I don't want to depend on Julia.
Right. I mean, listen, there's 100 ways. I mean, the good news, Tracy, is I have 200 pages of solutions in my book, The Murder of the Middle Class. And all of them involve power to the people, not power to the government. Government doesn't work. I don't know how to explain this to every American any stronger than the way I'm saying it now. Government fails at everything it does. You think they're your savior. They're not your savior. I could lay out dozens of examples of government programs that are failures, but let's talk about the biggest one. Do you realize every war in the history of America combined has cost between $7 and $8 trillion, somewhere between $7 and $8 trillion for every war adjusted for inflation in history. But the war on poverty, which only started under Lyndon Johnson in the late 1960s, that war has cost $20 trillion and counting adjusted for inflation. So all the wars in the history of America don't even add up to one-third of the war on poverty, which just started 40 years ago, and the war on poverty is a massive failure. How do I know? Because we have the highest poverty rates in history under Barack Obama right now. The most people on welfare, the most people on food stamps, the most people on disability, the most people on unemployment, the most people ever getting free breakfasts and lunches at school. All of that indicates that poverty is the highest it's ever been, and it is, in modern history, and yet we've spent $20 trillion on eradicating poverty. Government fails at eradicating poverty just as it fails at everything else. It failed at Amtrak. Richard Nixon took over Amtrak and said he'd have it turned around for $1 billion in a year or two. And that was 40 years ago and $40 billion ago, and it still loses $60 every time a person's butt sits in a seat on an Amtrak train. Government doesn't succeed at whatever it does. So, you know, there's a lot of ideas I've got in my book. Let's go with what the individual can do to save themselves. None of this is taught in school. None of this is taught, by the way, by the media. You never see it when you watch even a CNBC or a Bloomberg. If you happen to be one of the intellectual financial people that actually watches financial TV all day, they dumb you down too. They don't teach you about gold. That's a great lesson I teach in my book. If you had $1 million in the year 1913, 101 years ago, if you had $1 million in dollars, if you kept it in your mattress in dollars, do you know what it would be worth today?
No.
$20,000. Because the dollar is down by 98% in value since the year 1913, which was the first year the Fed was instituted in America and also the first year of the income tax. Shows you how good the Fed and the income tax have been for Americans. The only goal of the Fed, the only job of the Fed, is to protect the value of the dollar. And since the Fed's been in existence, it's down by 98%. So $1 million is today worth $20,000 100 years later. If you had the same $1 million in gold in the year 1913, today, do you know what it would be worth? $62 million. $62,500,000 to be exact. So, therefore, how come when you go to school, no one teaches you gold is valuable and you should invest in gold? How come no one ever tells you that, your friends, your uncle, your parents? How come when you watch CNBC, no one ever says gold is good? If you look at gold, it's outperformed the stock market by a mile since the year 2000. By a mile. And yet nobody ever tells you to buy gold. Gold protects you from irresponsible politicians building massive debt, spending too much, and wrecking the economy. Gold goes up when the economy's in crisis and it's getting wrecked. And I believe gold, which right now sits at, where's gold, about 1,300 and change, 1,300 an ounce. I believe it's going to be 10,000 in the next 10 years. I think it'll be 5,000 in the next 5 years. You've got to own gold if you're middle class and you want to protect yourself. I'm not telling you to, you know, sell all your stocks. No one wants to tell you to do any one thing. I'm just telling you gold has got to be a major part of your portfolio. It's wealth insurance. It's insurance against crisis, disaster, and what I believe is coming, a debt crisis like Greece, number one for America, and number two, the collapse of the American dollar. If the dollar is destroyed, and I believe the BRIC countries are about to destroy it, Brazil, Russia, India, and China are all joining together to kill the dollar and make sure it's not the world reserve currency anymore, which just simply means people can buy goods all over the world, and right now they can only buy them with the dollar, which makes our dollar strong, artificially strong, because you can't buy it with anything else. They're going to try and break that cartel, and those giant countries are all teaming together to make sure you can buy oil and diamonds and other products with Chinese dollars, with Russian rubles, with all their forms of currency. You don't need the dollar anymore. When that happens, the value of our entire country goes to zero. We're all done, unless you own gold. I teach you how to buy it, where to buy it, why to buy it in my new book, The Murder of the Middle Class. I teach you about vitamins in my new book, Murder of the Middle Class. You never hear any news media talk about vitamins, or they talk negatively about them. I take 100 vitamin pills a day and have since I was 16 years old, and I've never been sick. And I've got the energy of 1,000 men, 25 years old, and I'm 52 years old. Vitamins keep you healthy, so you never need to get involved in the Obamacare healthcare system. I don't need doctors. I don't need hospitals. I don't get sick. And I show you in this book, a vitamin expert who's the world's authority on vitamins wrote the chapter for me, the 10 hottest, newest, high-tech vitamins that can make you perfectly healthy. So you don't need to get into the Obamacare system and worry about a government-run healthcare system that will be a failure. And the third big one, Tracy, is most people send their kids to public schools, and a few rich people send their kids to private schools, and most of the rest you can't afford that, and you go, well, I got no choice but public school. Not true. There's over 2 million homeschool children in this country now, and I homeschooled my kids, and my daughter just graduated magna cum laude from Harvard University and just got accepted last week for her master's degree at Cambridge University in England, arguably the greatest college in the world, all from homeschooling. You don't need private schools that cost $30,000 a year, and you don't need public schools. That's a lie. They don't work. 40% dropout rates, and the kids who do graduate, it's because they promoted them out of school, even though they were getting F's in their grades that make it look like they have a good graduation rate. So they just push you on. But no one's really learning anything. They're just babysitting factories run by teachers' unions who only care about their own salaries, not about your kids. So homeschooling, great alternative that I proved works with my own kid who just graduated Harvard University.
Wow. Pretty good. It's an exciting book. It's an easy read. It's called Murder of the Middle Class, and it's by Wayne, I-A-L-L-Y-N, Root, R-O-O-T. You can find it anywhere books are sold. And Wayne, I've got to ask you about, do I have you for a few more minutes? Do you mind?
Yeah, you've got me until the top of the hour. Then I've got another interview at the top of the hour. So, yes, you got me.
Tell me about, because you have a section in here, you talk about profiting from poverty. And I don't think people really understand that poverty is now a commodity. Will you please elaborate in about a minute and a half, because it's going to be a top of the hour in three.
Well, I think a perfect example is the crisis on the border that's going on right now, right?
Absolutely.
Millions of people all over the world that are poverty-stricken are clamoring to get into America. And President Obama claims he's out to help, as an example, minorities, African Americans in America. How is he helping them if he gives amnesty to 12 to 15 million illegal aliens already in the country, and if he allows on the border thousands of people a day to come pouring over who all want low-wage jobs? Isn't corporate America going to profit from that? This is the greatest thing that ever happened to corporate America, but it's the worst thing that ever happened to African Americans, in my opinion, who Barack Obama is supposed to be the savior of. He's now fighting on behalf of illegal immigrants who all want the same piece of the pie as you do, and I do, and we do. And so it's going to keep wages down for literally the next five generations. For the next 100 years, your kids and your grandkids are going to be fighting for jobs with people who are starving, desperate, willing to do anything to come to America, have no education, want to be taken care of for the rest of their lives, and they're going to be competing with you for the same jobs and the same dollars, so no one will ever again be able to ask their boss for a raise, because there's so many people who all fight for the same one job. The boss can pick anybody he wants, and nobody can ever ask for a raise. He'll say, you're fired, I'll grab the next guy. So in the end, this obsession with amnesty, Tracy, is going to destroy the entire middle-class workforce in the United States of America.
My God.
That was really nicely put in that little
Very well.
Time.
You did a good job. The book is called The Murder of the Middle Class, How to Save Yourself and Your Family from the Criminal Conspiracy of the Century by Wayne Allen Root. You can find it anywhere books are sold. Is it on Audible Books also?
Yeah, it is, and it's on Amazon.com, and you can find it in all those good places, Sam's Club, Costco, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and it is, in fact, an Audible book as well.
And it's an easy read. It's not a difficult read, so you don't have to go out and get another dictionary to read it. It's very, very common sense. He puts the information in there, and you ought to go pick it up. Wayne, I want to thank you so much for coming on with us. Please come back again.
Anytime you invite me, I'll be on. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm going to take a break. At the top of the hour, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about what we've heard today. We'll open up the lines for open mic, and we really want to thank our guests for being on with us. Wayne Allen Root, The Murder of the Middle Class, How to Save Yourself and Your Family from the Criminal Conspiracy of the Century, and we'll see you in a moment.
Okay.
Wheels. Saturday, August 9th, tractors and motorcycles. Sunday, August 10th, airplanes and classic cars. Live music, food, aviation demonstrations, and airplane rides. And the grand opening of the Ernie Hall Aviation Museum. Fun for the whole family at Slo's Airfield, North River Road, Warren, Ohio. Discount tickets are available through August 8th at the Frame Depot in Niles, Andrews Hardware in Howland, Sunrise Inn in Warren, and All American Cars and Comics in Warren and Boardman, and online. Find out more and get your discount tickets now at erniehallaviationmuseum.org.
Sponsored in part by Trumbull County Tourism.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Do you find yourself constantly tired, or do you feel like your immune system is weak? Consider Super Immune Forte C1000 with bioflavonoids and Super D3. These drugless prescriptions can be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
A street corner. And a gang of loons came up, and they throw more than 2,600 punches. And the family, because they're capable and they do Pilates, is able to deflect punch after punch after punch after punch after punch. Then a liberal comes along, and they blame the family for blocking the punches, right? And you turn, you knock one of the trogs to the ground, and you knock his teeth out, and they say, oh,
that's... Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information.
I've been cheating on a Reagan-era treaty to forbid the testing of intermediate-range nuclear missiles. This week, President Obama wrote to President Putin to complain that he's tested a new cruise missile and to demand high-level talks to settle this.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Stepped-up attacks by Israel against Gaza. Palestinian officials say dozens more civilians were killed overnight. The death toll in 4 weeks of Israeli shelling is over 1,150. In recent days, the death toll on the Israeli side has risen to more than 50 people. Gaza's only power plant has been hit, and that means further big disruptions of electricity and water supplies for Gaza residents. Morning sickness is one part of pregnancy most women would happily do without, but a new medical survey finds the nausea and vomiting could have an upside, healthier babies. Women with morning sickness had fewer miscarriages.
Women who experience morning sickness have different hormonal responses. The hormones of pregnancy turn to be at higher levels.
Dr. Gideon Corin with the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto on those findings. In Philadelphia, two men accused of a carjacking who killed three children in a crash have been ordered held without bail. The accused men were arraigned this morning. American consumers more confident about the economy than they have been in nearly 7 years. That's according to the latest survey by the Conference Board. The Senate is set to take up legislation today to keep federal highway money flowing to states. There are just 3 days left before the government plans to start slowing down payments to states. This is ABC News.
Cloud may be just another overused buzzword, but the cloud is an effective computing environment that can save your business time and money. Barracuda Networks is no stranger to the cloud. In fact, all of our security and storage solutions connect to the cloud for continuous updates and off-site redundancy. Barracuda's cloud also plays host to our email security, web security, file sharing, and e-signing services. We even offer solutions on Amazon's AWS and Microsoft's Azure public cloud platforms. To try any of our cloud-connected solutions free, visit barracuda.com/cloud.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
House Republicans are moving towards a vote later this week on a slimmed-down bill. It would address the immigration crisis at the border. The measure would send in National Guard troops and speed up unaccompanied migrant youths going back to Central America. New advice out on tanning. You shouldn't do too much of it, ABC's Scott Goldberg explains.
Sun safety.
For years, the Food and Drug Administration has been telling us to stay in the shade, wear hats, and put on sunscreen.
Reapply it every 2 hours.
But now the warning is coming from the nation's top doctor. Surgeon General Boris Lushniak has proclaimed skin cancer a major public health problem, and a report from his office says too much time in the sun or in tanning salons is a major contributor to the nation's 63,000 cases of melanoma every year. The FDA will soon require warning labels on all tanning beds. Lushniak says states that don't already ban minors from using them.
Goldberg reporting. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
330-781-9600. This is Tracy and Friends. Listen. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Never missing a beat, yeah. Boy, was it neat, yeah. Not just me, she was so deep when she did the freak with me. Never missing a beat, yeah. Boy, was it neat, yeah.
The girl's a freak, the girl never misses a beat, yeah, yeah.
It didn't work, no.
Hey, Mama, can you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM? Did he say twerk?
No.
He did. He said it doesn't twerk. He said twerk, didn't he? He did.
It doesn't work, no.
He said it doesn't twerk.
Okay,
hey, Tracy.
Whatever. My goodness.
He said it didn't twerk.
Hey, Tracy.
So they were twerking. They were twerking back in the 70s.
They weren't twerking back in the day.
The Funkadelic was twerking, and that's where they got the word twerking. Because it called it the dog, right? That's Parliament Funkadelic, right?
Well, no, wait a minute.
George Clinton,
dog.
The dog twerking.
Dog.
Now, what's it in between?
Dog.
What's it in between the dog and the twerk? Jeff,
answer
the question.
Like that.
Jeff, answer the question.
I think there's a big difference. Twerking is twerking. The dog, you was down and dirty. You was on the floor with the dog.
Which one is worse? Twerking. Which one is worse?
That
the
was
dog?
Berserk. It wasn't no twerk.
Which one's worse, the twerk or the dog?
The dog.
I don't know.
Yeah, because see, you actually was in the act when you was doing the dog. Everybody was on the floor. It was animalistic. You know that.
So the twerk. No. Because remember,
twerking. You can sit up there by yourself and twerk. Miley Cyrus with her no behind having self was sitting up there in that thing.
So
was
the difference between the twerk and the dog was the dog wasn't on television?
No.
Because they didn't dog on TV.
You can twerk on TV.
You can't dog
you
on TV.
You can't dog on TV.
Okay, hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 500. The number is
347-945-5229.
Yes, Pianki, I called you a long time ago. What?
Oh, well, I was on mute because I listened to your guest. But, you know, yeah, you're all right, Jeff. They were twerking back even in the 70s where women was clapping their cheeks at it. But you know, I really appreciate the guest you had on because he's absolutely right in the assertion and the facts and figures that he put out there. And, you know, you look at the ways in, the raising of minimum wage is nothing more than a tax scheme. Because if you really wanted to help people that's working for minimum wage, well, do away with their federal withholding tax. Stop withholding federal taxes from them. And that would immediately put at least $3 an hour back into their pockets. So he was absolutely right. But he's right also with the demise of the dollar. I mean, that's something that's just going to happen. Nothing will stay the same forever.
That's
well,
scary.
It's scary, but, I mean, it's not in all. I mean, people are going to have to devise a different ways to do things. But the way the world see the powers to be today, should I say the United States and her NATO posse, they're sick and tired of it because they have nothing to show for it, and people are moving. Should I say other countries are arranging themselves to start doing business a different way, devoid themselves of the age-old. And, you know, look at black folks don't have much to show from that. African countries who have had dealings with the West for the last 500 years, what have they got to show for it? So they're not going to remain that way. They're going to do something different.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing with you today. I mean, I want to thank you for coming on. I want to, if you can, go to the library, get the book called The Murder of the Middle Class. It's a good book to read. And as
I
a matter of fact, did you read it already?
No, I just ordered it.
Okay. It's a good book.
Oh, I heard that.
It's a good book. I mean, the information that's in it, he does break it down to the, you know, it's you know, elementary form that – you're going to have to rethink who you are, what's going on around you. He names names. He names claims, whether it be Republican and or Democrat, and he tells the truth on all of it. You can't beat that. And we've been saying it all along. So this is not new. But you need to know. Private call, your mic is on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Brown Beasley.
Good morning, Brown.
You don't sound happy to hear from me.
Hi, how are you? That better?
Here we go.
Okay.
Much better. Much better. I caught the tail end of what Bianchi was saying. I mean, the dollar's been in decline ever since Roosevelt removed its value from gold.
Okay.
The dollar purchases about 5% of what
okay.
it did in 1933.
We came to that resolve. The question is, what are we going to do about it today? Because if we keep on putting our money in a mattress and a coffee can, it's not going to work for us. If we keep on doing the same thing we've always done, we'll always be where we always have been. And right now, we're not winning.
You and your
That's
political slogan. You and your political. Slogans and phrases. They're cute.
Thank you very much.
I don't know what they mean.
If you can't understand, if you can't comprehend it, when you get an ear, you'll be able to hear it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing that doesn't make any sense. You sit up there and listen to the man explain exactly what's going on when you have the highest number of people on welfare, the highest number of people unemployed, 93 million people unemployed in America. And then you also have people that are getting ready to not be able to afford their health care system, because once they got you having to have the health care, they have you because you're going to do whatever you have to do to have it. You're not going to be able to escape it. And there's not going to be any living off the grid or anything.
No, because you're not going to be able to live off the grid.
No.
Go ahead, Eric.
No, I mean, I listened to the interview, and I thought it was very, very good. And when you look at the history behind minimum wage laws and why they were created and this influx of illegals into the country, and you have Obama talking about granting amnesty to 5 million of them, what effect do you think that's going to have on minimum wage laws?
Well, here's the thing, that beyond the minimum wage law, just think at how much it's going to cost local governments to absorb these people.
You can't.
And they don't speak English. That's why Rick Perry put the guard down on the border. He put the National Guard down on the border. I applaud him for that.
Had to.
Yeah, I absolutely had to. He's getting overrun.
It's bankrupting the cities down. I mean, I'm hearing sheriff after sheriff. They're getting one when a 911 calls in. The first question that you ask is not, are you a U.S. citizen? They must deploy upon 911 calls. So we're already low on resources as it is, and you have this new influx of people coming in, and they can't afford. They're overtaxed.
I would like to have one supporter talk to me and tell me that they think that these things are good ideas.
What?
Yeah, I mean, when you have minimum wage of $8 an hour, and you got all these people saying, "Hey, I work for six." That minimum wage law is going to disappear.
Oh,
well, that's what they're doing when they work under the table. I mean, people do work under the table. They work for cash, because remember, if you get paid $8 an hour, that doesn't include the taxes that you have to pay on top of that for having an employee. There's something called an employee tax. Then you got to pay the Social Security on top of that. Then you got to pay the FICA on top of that. Then you have your state tax on top of that, your administrative costs on top of that, and if you have more than 50 employees, you've got to pay for the health care on top of that. So your $8 now turns into $18 per hour that you're paying for a product that you may not get $18 worth per hour work out of them. So they don't understand productivity that comes behind that $8 an hour for minimum wage.
Well, they know it. Who doesn't know it? Everybody knows it except the people that they got the out on that particular vent we're going to go on strike for it. And they're organizing and going through with these unions. See, this is why you're going to have a head-to-head confrontation pretty soon. You see the people up in arms now will not allow those buses to come into their communities. That's only the beginning.
My question is, how are you going to just bus people across the country?
Because you can.
He didn't bus them to the White House.
No,
he got room.
They don't need no more in D.C. They got too many.
No, I said to the White House, not in D.C.
There was one
busload where like 75% of them didn't show up for their deportation hearings. They're in the wind.
Oh, they gone. I mean, these people know when they got something good in that country, they can't make a dime. There's nothing there because their leadership has stolen everything.
Listen to this. There's a young kid coming across the border says Obama will take care of us. That's like the young lady says Obama's going to pay my gas bill.
But it's not. No, this is better than Obama going to pay your gas bill because he is going to take care of us. That's the difference. He is going to take care of them because he's replacing black folks. And black folks is too asleep not to see it. They won't wake up. They need to wake up.
Yeah, when you get off that bus, you can tear up those deportation papers, and you can be whoever you say you want to be.
That's amazing. Here the number is 347-945-5229. I mean, and let me say this. I don't think you're right. I don't think Obama's going to take care of them. Let me say it this way. I think they have the drive enough because, see, we have to realize they don't have to be taken care of like we have to be taken care of because, see, we stay home and wait for the check. These people hope to get a check, and they go work for something else.
They're going to get a check, and then they're going to go work under the counter and make money too. They're going to make money as long as there's any money to be made because they are motivated. You know, and we're sitting up here listening to a group of people tell us that we're no better than the food stamp program to where they can initialize a vote for a Republican in the primary and get the black people to come out and vote for it.
They did, didn't they?
They surely did.
They did, didn't they?
And it made you look like a fool in the process.
It didn't make them look like a fool.
Yes, they did.
No, they
didn't.
Who did they look like a fool to you?
Well,
Nobody else paid attention.
Nobody else paid attention.
Nobody else. They won't. Hold on. Listen to this.
Being housed at military bases in Texas, California, and Oklahoma. 1,200 are being sheltered at Oklahoma's Fort Sill alone. But on Monday, Oklahoma Republican Senator Jim Inhofe and six of the state's U.S. representatives said the government should reconsider using the fort as a stopgap solution to housing these children. Senator Inhofe joins me now. So, Senator, good morning to you, sir.
Well, good morning, Chad.
Let me ask you, at this point we're in a crisis. What do you do if Oklahoma doesn't want them? What do you do with these kids since Congress is still trying to figure out how to give the tools to the DHS to try to speed up the deportation process? In the meantime, where should they be housed, if not here?
Well, first of all, I think we're overlooking the obvious here. I went down and talked to these kids. At that time, they just arrived. There might have been 300 or 400. I do reasonably well speak Spanish, and I talked to them, even though they tried to keep us from doing it. These kids were here in this country at the invitation of the president. I think everyone knows it. Nobody says it. But they were down there in these countries. That means that during his DACA, the Deferred Action Childhood Arrivals, he's making it sound as if, come here, we'll take care of you. And they all believe this, Chuck. I know you don't believe it, but they do. And so these kids are all piling in. Well, no, these kids are piling into Fort Sill right now. We're understaffed down there. We're trying to rebuild a barracks. And so the commander told me that they had agreed with HHS, we have to house these people, but we can't do it beyond October. They promised they'd leave by October. Where are they going to go? HHS doesn't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer for that. I'm just saying that you have to set up something until the president reverses this decision and makes some kind of a comment. You don't want to take the risk of crossing all the way through Mexico, risking your lives and all this to come to this country. And when you come here, you've got to obey the law or we're not going to let you in. That would stop it, Chuck. That would stop it.
Well, obviously, you know, the president's not going to reverse that. We got
a
crisis
I know
here, right? I mean, he seems to be, you know, there seem to be, they have made that pretty clear. Now, on the 2008 law, which, of course, seems to hold up the deportation process in this case because of the asylum issues that have to be dealt with before a deportation can happen, what is going on in the Senate? Do you think a compromise of some sort on the 2008 law to at least speed up the process?
Well, okay, I think people have to understand what the 2008 law was. That passed by unanimous consent in the Senate. And people are saying, well, you voted for this. Well, it passed by unanimous consent, but that was to correct a problem, Chuck. That is, you know, slave labor, sexual assault, all these things, and that was the reason for that law. That's not the case here. And I don't think that law has application. I think we could go through a deportation.
You don't think it does?
No,
you think we can do this without it? How?
I think we can. Well, I think it's the will to do it. After all, you say, how can this happen? You know, how could they have turned loose, five of the real terrorists when that was violating a law directly? I think this can happen. And I really believe that the president has to make this decision. We can deport some of them. The ones I talked to, I've got to tell you this, Chuck, because I talked to them individually, and I speak enough Spanish that I could do this. All of them were programmed to say that they had relatives here, they were invited to come up here, they're going to stay here. At the same time, they say, the HHS says, we're not going to send them back. And so long as they have that assurance, more are coming in. Right now, at that 12,000 at Fort Sill is up to 1,400, and they're now saying that we can't close them down in October. They're going to have to stay to at least January. Well, that is very disruptive on the mission that we have trying to carry out in our military. Our military's got problems enough right now without taking on this burden, and I'm going to be there to try to help them.
It's remarkable.
Everybody wants to come to America. There's a song about it.
Well, of course. Everybody wants to come here. There's no doubt. I'm not mad. You know, everything's in America. You going with West Side Story?
Yeah.
They want to come to America because the amount of money that they can make at minimum wage will go twice, three times as far back in their country where the price of living is nowhere near as high. I was at a store last night, green pepper, bell pepper is like $1.50, two for $3. So that's the reason why. As the gentleman said, food prices is completely out of sight. It's just ridiculous what we pay for things here.
There's no doubt about it. And what most of our cost is taxes and labor. And, you know, when you're talking about taking entry-level job positions and making them livable wage jobs, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's the most asinine thing. Please, somebody, if you call me and you tell me how that works.
Tell me how what works.
How what I just said works.
Jeff, no one's paying attention because it doesn't affect their circumference.
Sure it does.
No, listen to what I'm saying. It does indirectly, but they haven't moved them into their neighborhood. They haven't moved them into their house. They don't see that 17,000, you know, right now in Youngstown, it costs $17,000 per pupil to be educated in Youngstown City Schools.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize if they bring these young children to Youngstown, Ohio, it's going to cost even more because most of them do not speak English. They've got to take another class. And from my understanding, these children that are coming here, they're going to put these kids in schools until they send them back, even if it
– No matter what.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to put these kids inside of a public school system somewhere.
Right.
Who pays for that?
And how many black people speak Spanish so they can get jobs teaching these kids?
No, bless,
no, we don't speak Spanish.
No. Right. Don't speak Spanish.
No speak Spanish.
Don't say that. My daughter does.
Yeah, but she ain't teaching.
Not
she
yet.
Ain't trying to teach.
Not yet.
She want to teach.
So what kind of teachers are going to get those jobs?
It doesn't matter what you want to do. It don't matter what you want to do.
I mean, I know some black people that do teach.
Mm-hmm.
Do speak Spanish, but overall, the majority of African Americans, ESL is not their ESN.
No, because they were dumbed down in the first place, and they weren't even taught English well. So, you know, you're sitting up here in a country that has purposely undereducated a whole class of people. Young American-born Hispanics, American-born black people, and some poor whites.
So
purposely not taught.
Purposely not taught, but purposely not paying attention either.
Well,
and let me
hiding
tell you, because it, right now we are two generations behind.
Yeah.
And right now we are so enamored with race. We think everything is based upon race. We think that all – you're treating me bad because I'm black. You fired me because I'm black. You don't promote me because I'm black. The reason why you don't give me a raise is because I'm black. The reason why you don't hire me is because I'm black. The reason why you're picking on President Obama is because he's black. All this kind of stuff is because everybody black. Can you please explain to them that white guilt is gone?
Yeah, I can't give a job. I can't do Spanish because I'm black.
That's right.
Because you didn't bother to learn.
So my children can't learn and get a job because they go into an all-black school because your white kids don't want to go to school with you because you won't sit your little kids down in a classroom and make them learn.
And not only that, you won't sit them down in a class and make them learn. You tell them that they can't learn. You put them in slow classes, and you teach them at a slow rate. And then by the time you try to have to mainstream them, they're still too slow to keep up. And we have statistics to prove that. And Bianchi, I'm sure, will back me up on this. When you have high-performing black schools, when you have a disciplined school, they do much better than their white counterparts. Much better.
We do. So why would the president go in and make sure that our students, because if you go back to Cory Booker, what's his name, the young man, the mayor of D.C.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And Michelle Ray.
Michelle Ree.
And they were trying to make sure that all students inside the inner city, because they had the worst school district in the nation.
Absolutely.
Made sure they had an education. Why would the president come in and stop the program and actually side on the side of the unions to make sure that the young people did not get an education that they deserve and let the parents get hogwashed and tied up into thinking because it was anti-union, it was anti-them, and made sure that they got on the side of the union so now the NEA controls the school district all over again and they still can't read and they still can't learn.
And kick Michelle Rhee and them out where their test scores were markedly improved. How they were running the D.C. schools, markedly improved.
On top of that, and knowing that the unions were created to keep blacks out of the workforce, on top of that.
So is minimum wage.
Now we have an influx of non-English-speaking people coming to the country that are going to benefit from all that.
Oh, man, they're going to do swell because you know what? You know, they're not going to have the tropical fruit trees that they have down in their area and the growing seasons all year, but guess what? They're going to do really good up here, and they're going to work hard, they're going to raise themselves up, and they're going to come through the society like nothing before, gangbusters.
So what in the world is going on? I mean, really.
I'm telling you.
I mean, this is serious. This is serious. I mean, I'm gonna hold our preachers accountable to this also. Because I'm tired of them, you know, riding good, living decent, building, and not getting involved in the simplicity of just the things of life. The Bible says, without an education, people perish. If you can't read the Bible, you can't interpret the Bible.
Nope.
And if you can't read, you can't read the Bible. So how are you supposed to study to show yourself approved of anything if you don't teach people and mandate that they know how to read?
Very little Bible study.
So all you want me to do is do what I say do and don't read it for myself to make sure you're not in error?
Very little Bible study.
How you? But still, even let me read. It ain't going to be a Bible study.
Oh,
if you teach me how to read, I'll study it for myself. But if I can't read, I can't study.
Oh, I agree with you.
Any pastor has a problem with. If anybody in his congregation can't read, that should be a serious problem to him.
And we don't. Why don't we have literacy programs inside of our buildings? I mean, seriously. Why are we not working on economic development inside of those buildings? Why aren't we redistributing wealth inside of the buildings of our own wealth? I'm just saying.
I get frustrated, Tracy, and you know, I really do. I have a hard time with this, and I have a hard time with the locked in ignorance that holds on to that mindset. You know, you can't tell people that they can do better. They'll give you every excuse in the world why they can't do better. And they'll still call in one side of the political spectrum racist. And then when it's their side, well, you know how they are. No.
Oh, no, don't do it because I heard that the other
day.
Well,
you,
I don't understand.
Yeah, you tell the truth.
That makes
you
me want to
truth,
raise somebody. I'm sorry.
They double down when you tell them the truth.
Yeah, but here it is. You know how they are. You know how they play politics here. What? No. Why are you sitting for it? You're going to blame all of this, all the other stuff on Republicans. Now, why aren't you blaming your own party? And then why aren't you getting in your party and changing it? Because you got most of you in there.
They don't understand it. The same way we were talking about Trumbull County, the same way we were talking about Mahoning County, they don't get involved because we're lazy.
Well,
we're waiting for somebody to come and save us. The same way that the Israelites could have dug it if you had 1.5 million people, and most of them are men.
2.5 million people.
Okay, 2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of them were men.
Mm-hmm. That's all the men were numbered because you don't count women.
So 2.5 million men?
2.5 million men.
Okay, Jeff.
Males. Uh-huh.
So tell me, why didn't they dig their own well?
Mm-hmm.
They were used to working.
Well,
do you know how many wells they could have dug for water?
Yeah, but they were traveling. They were
Jeff. No. If you're thirsty enough.
With a couple million people, yeah.
With a couple million people, you could have dug a couple million wells. You would have been a happy drinker.
That's how we know that the original Jews.
Jeff. Hey, I'm gonna take a break. And because Jeff didn't gone off a cliff. The number is 347-945-5229. Now, listen, I got to go. There it is.
I
got to go. No, you ain't. I just want you to know. The views and expression here on Tracy and Friends is not a Tracy. Jeff is sits on his own bottom. He says what he says. And I'm not responsible for any of it.
Wait, Tracy,
I'll be right
my
back.
Views are not that of myself or of Tracy and Friends.
Says you are not so cute.
That Tony is.
And he works?
A delivery boy.
And what are you?
An assistant. See, and Gino makes half of what the Polak makes.
Oh,
the Polak is an American.
Hey,
your mother's a Pole, your father's a Swede, but
you were born here. That's all that you need. You are an American. But us, foreigners.
But it's true. When I think of how I thought it would be for us here, we came like children, believing,
trusting with our... Once an immigrant, always an immigrant.
Hey, look, instead of a shampoo, she's been brainwashed.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America. Everything free in America.
For a small fee in America.
Buying on credit is so nice.
One look at us and they charge twice.
I have my own washing machine.
What will you have, though, to keep clean?
Skyscrapers bloom in America. Cadillacs zoom in America. Industry boom in America.
12 in a room in America.
Do you chronically suffer from a weak immune? Do you easily get upper respiratory infections, the flu, or a cold during the winter season? Consider Defense Forte and C1000 with bioflavonoids. Our drugless prescriptions are designed to be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these health problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life.
1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. Despite a threat from the Ohio Democratic Party to impose sanctions, the local party chairman is not backing down. Chairman Dan Polifka is fighting back, says his party has a right to use secret ballots, and he won't be moved to change their process, a process in which was used over the weekend, to narrow down the party selection of two candidates for county commissioner. The state party has cut off resources to all Trumbull County Democratic candidates as a result. A gas leak prompted authorities to shut down a portion of Elm Road and evacuate a business for about an hour in the area of the old Walmart store Monday afternoon. First responders were called to the 2,000 block of Elm Road after a gas line was ruptured in the area where a new Menard store is being built. Hazmat experts and crews from Dominion East Ohio were dispatched to the area. There were no reports of injury. The road was open again just before 3 p.m. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
This Friday, it's another sweet deal on News Talk 600, where you can purchase a $50 certificate to El Arriero Mexican Restaurant in Hermitage for just $25. Log on to 600WSOM.com. This Friday, take advantage of half-price gift certificates. Visit their website at ElArrieroHermitage.com.
For the fun, flair, and authentic taste of Mexico, head to El Arriero in Hermitage. Their extensive menu features house specialties, plus traditional Mexican cuisine of beef, pork, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes. Check out their new Loco Buffet daily from 11 to 3. Relax on their large patio and enjoy a drink from their full bar or one of their fabulous margaritas. It's the authentic taste of Mexico on East 8th Street in Hermitage. On the web at ElArrieroHermitage.com.
Log on to 600WSOM.com. This Friday at 9 a.m. for half-price gift certificates from El Arriero Mexican Restaurant.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
I'll get the terrorist apartment.
Better get rid of your accent.
Life can be bright in America.
If you can fight in America.
Life is all right in America.
If you're all white in America.
You know, it's really amazing. I'm listening to this song, and it happened to be in Spanish. You know, they have that Latin dialect, and listen to what they're saying.
I hear it.
And people don't understand. That's how people really feel about America in those terms.
The people outside of America still feel that way.
That's what I'm saying. You can be anything you choose in America.
Everywhere crime in America. Organized crime in America. Terrible time in America.
You forget I'm in America.
I'm just amazed. I really never paid attention to the lyrics of that song from West Side Story and what they were really talking about. I just heard about the America, and I just stuck in my head, and I'm listening, and I'm going, I think that's how people feel. I think that's what they believe. Americans don't believe it.
Anymore.
We're not taught to believe it.
Did you hear what Secretary of State Kerry said? Oh, when I feel real uncomfortable when people talk about American exceptionalism and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, I remember that.
Why are you uncomfortable about it? We invented almost everything. Not everything, but almost everything there is in the modern world. The systems were made here because you made a system that made people supposed to do what you that made people want to make money so So they created things.
But you had to work for them, Jeff.
But your reward was great. Now your reward is not so great because the government takes everything.
It's okay.
It's not okay.
And he grew up in a country that gave him the opportunity to be Secretary of State, and he says a thing like that.
What's wrong with that? It's good for me. What's good for me is not good for you, don't you know? That's what you call elitism. Hey, I'm just amazed and baffled how we do things today. And I hope we open your eyes to some things today. Agree or disagree, you need to do some research, because your life will depend on it. Diva just texted me and said, talking about the pipeline, it will only create 12 permanent jobs. Is that true? 12.
That's a lot.
Hold on. You had to hear what it said. She said 12 permanent jobs.
Oh.
12 permanent jobs. You know how many thousands of people that will work for how many years to get that pipeline built?
They would build that pipeline. It would be over. And the only thing the man did not tell you why Warren Buffett doesn't want the pipeline built.
He told you.
Well,
he said he got a train.
Oh yeah, that's why
he
didn't say that. I didn't hear him.
Ruth said that. Yeah, what'd you say, Bianchi? Ruth said it.
Yeah, you know, that was a point, because, you know, I remember years ago Warren Buffett and what's that other guy's name, Pickens? They started buying up those tanker cars. And
yes,
just for this. So he was absolutely right on that. And the pipeline will produce more than 12 jobs, because with the automation that's required in order to monitor the pressure and other things that prevent destruction of the environment, is going to require more than 12 people working permanently.
That. You got more than 12 people that run a show, let alone run a pipeline that goes all the way from Mexico to Canada. Hello.
Yeah, I mean, you got 12 people working at McDonald's. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I just don't believe just some of the things that people come up with and how they go about it. And I just hope, I just want us to begin to open up our eyes and see that I will no longer be a mat that people walk on, but I will stand up and I will walk on and pick up my mat and continue to move forward. You know, you can't do that by laying down, because nobody's coming to save us. And I got to go back to Harriet Tubman talking about, you know, she could have freed 1,000 more if they just couldn't believe that they were slaves. You know, and I look at, you know, I posted a video on my Facebook page last night about, it was talking about where we've come from and where we're going as a community, and especially as a black community, and what we seem to be exceptional. We're even in our music and even in our actresses and what we accept in our communities and our men, where it was an honor to fight, and now we just fight in the streets for the sense of just fighting. And we put drugs in our veins. This morning when I opened the show up, I talked about how people are young kids, young black kids. If you go on there and look at the pass-out challenge, kids are hyperventilating and then holding their chest, having somebody hold their chest until they pass out so that they can pass out. And it's a challenge. It's a game for them. It's a dangerous game. And we're not teaching any different. Kids are smoking bed bugs to get high.
Bed bugs.
Bed bugs, baby. Bed bugs.
How do you see a bed bug? I thought they was microscopic.
It is, unless you're trying to get high on them. It's like trying to pick up cocaine.
We had a kid die from that activity in a local school district here a couple of years ago.
Sure.
Do we kids are smoking bed bugs? Do you understand that? That's like going out and saying, I'm gonna try a roach and see what it'll do.
Well, it was hold your breath.
They drying the bugs out and then putting them in a pipe and smoking them. Y'all think I'm lying, don't you?
No, no, there's all type of things going on. You know, people don't know when you're buying marijuana off the street,
and they soaking it in horse
vomit fluid,
yes,
and horse tranquilizer, which is tantamount to being PCP, if you know what that was. You know, and that, back in the day, that's what they did. That's what they did. That's crazy stuff. These people have gone off the edge. And, you know, what's so crazy to me about it is the Bible said it was going to be just like this.
Folks don't believe the Bible.
No, they don't believe it.
There's no God consciousness. There's no superior power consciousness. There's no nothing. Folks are just aimlessly going nowhere in a zombie state of mind. And I don't know how to shake them, to wake them, to let them know, don't allow, I mean, life's too short. I think the cliche was life is for the living.
Oh.
And I don't understand why we won't wake up and live.
It's like Stick said yesterday, you can't take your kid to a ball game without people fighting and drinking and spilling beer everywhere.
That is amazing, ain't it? It's no longer for kids. But you can't afford it anymore to take your kids to a ball game anyhow.
That's true.
You got to save up. Remember they used to take a whole Sunday school class to the amusement parks? Idor Park or Geauga Lake or Cedar Point? You got to save up for a whole year to go to an amusement park to take your kids.
Sure did.
Yeah, and a bottle of beer costs about $8. If you spill it, somebody would be on the floor licking it up.
I'm just amazed at what we do today.
Yep.
And how we are so far from it, and we blame everything and anything else now. And this is not an indictment on black. It's just black and white.
No, it is. It's poor people versus rich people.
No, it's Jeff. It's poor people, working poor people, working middle class people. Middle class people who used to be higher class people who are now poor people. And then the elite.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like you look on the field, you've got the rich, you got the players in the field making money, you got the owner in the press box making money, eating good, warm, then you got the fans in the middle at the bottom fighting each other and killing each other and arguing.
You know, Donald Sterling went to court yesterday to see if he was confident to take back his trust fund so that he didn't have to, so his wife couldn't make a decision for him to sell the Clippers. Is it Clippers? Yes, yeah, Clippers. It's the Yippers. Do we understand that all the flip-flop, all the hoopla we had about him being racially insensitive, not one black person won anything out of this?
No.
I mean, the little girl who recorded, she got her 15 minutes of fame. The NAACP lost their funding.
Yeah, well,
and nobody. And what? I'm serious. And nobody won. No, there's nothing. There was no restitution for the heartache of all the people who were screaming up and down about having Donald Sterling talking about black men and his little girlfriend.
Right, and the decision had nothing to do with that. The decision had to do with whether he was competent and the way the trust was written up. At any time that he became incompetent to be when he's tested by a medical authority, then she had the right to sell the team. If he had said black folks are little angels, she still could have took him to court and ended up with this outcome.
And he got at the end of the day, no matter how it slices, he's still gonna have a payday. And the people who were the fodder on the front lines still got nothing. That needs to go in a book, and that needs to be a story behind that.
Well, somebody needs to question the sanity of the former Microsoft executive who offered $2 billion for the team when the bidding was around $1.2 and $1.3 billion, which in itself was inflated.
See, Pianki, believe you me, we talked about this about 2 months ago, and what's going on is people are buying machines that make money, because when the money changes, It's not going to do you good to have money. It's going to do you good to have a machine that makes money.
You need a commodity. You need something tangible. It's like the young man, Dwayne Allen Root, who was on with us this morning. He said that right now, if you had $1 million, and you put it in the bank, it'd be only worth $20,000. But if you had, $1 million in gold, it'd be worth $68 million. You follow that? I know you follow that logic. So we need to go and start investing in other things, because if as a dollar declines, it doesn't make any sense for you to hold on to your money because it doesn't buy you what it used to buy you. But if you hold on to something that appreciates, then you got something. And the Clippers appreciated, just like when LeBron went over to the Cavaliers, he brought $1 billion with him when he walked over and said, I'm going to sign. He changed the whole value of the team by just re-signing and coming back and putting on another 23 jersey.
And look at what they're doing too. They took all the tickets that they were free. They download them offline. They got all the free tickets to the event to welcome him back.
Yeah.
And now they're selling them. Alpers are selling them for as high as $150.
Hey, listen, we're trying to make a dollar any way we can. Don't hate us. Don't hate the player. Hate the game, Jeff. You know, we broke. We got to pay for the new tennis shoes that he's going to endorse.
Yep.
Does he have a pair of tennis shoes?
Ooh.
LeBron. I think he does.
I don't know. Yeah, I think I saw somebody say something about LeBron.
LeBron ain't got no shoes.
I never bought anything like that, no Jordans or nothing.
You ain't buy no Jordans?
No, I ain't got no money to buy no Jordans.
You got no brown gear.
I got a house and a daughter.
So? You got brown gear.
You know what? Most of my brown gear I got free.
Yeah, because I was giving it away.
Wait.
At a fire sale.
And my Browns coat, our man Mike Claret is responsible for me having that coat, because he won the coat at some kind of drawing. We went to some event down at the Village Center, and I won something else, and he said, I'll trade you.
See there? He wasn't wearing no Browns.
He wasn't going no Browns at all. Mike wasn't about no Browns.
No, listen, I got to go, Jeff. You got to come over here.
Well, it's 5 minutes, too.
I know.
Five minutes
makes a difference.
It's over.
I know it's over, but I can't go yet.
Well, put Brown back in so he can say something crazy before he goes.
Why you got to let him say something crazy before he goes? He don't need to say something crazy before he goes.
Go ahead, Brown. Go ahead and say something crazy before we go.
He can't say something. Yeah, he can. Tomorrow, we have a gentleman by the name of Dan Halper, H-A-L-P-E-R. He wrote a book called Clinton, Inc.,
mm-hmm.
And he's going to be our guest at the bottom of the hour at early tomorrow morning, so please tune in. It's going to be interesting. Sticks is going to be here with me. Clinton Inc. is a great book. It's about the Clinton Empire, Hillary and President. What's his name? Bill. William Jefferson.
William Jefferson Clinton.
And it is going to really fascinate you. He told some truth in there. You're going to hear some things that you've heard Hillary Clinton say, and that people have scrutinized her for saying, and he's going to come out and tell you that it was absolutely true. It's going to be interesting. He's going to tell you about how the empire, how their personalities worked within their empire, how the foundation now headed by Chelsea Clinton, and how they're grooming her for it to be the next Camelot. So it's going to be an interesting day.
Yeah, it's
interesting
going to be
day. We're going to talk about compressed natural gas tomorrow. We got a new car coming out here.
I drove a hybrid.
Okay.
And it was fantastic because, you don't hear them.
How's the power?
It was not bad. It was both, because when you need power, the gas kicks in automatically.
Okay.
And so it was really nice. I like that. I like that idea. But, it just costs too doggone much. What you going to do?
Hey, go out there and convert it to compressed natural gas.
That's the deal. That's the dilly
there. That's right there.
That's the dilly. So is that Stanley I see in there?
No. But listen, somebody said East Coast said, who cares, Tracy? A lot of people care. A lot of people care. People that need to pay attention care.
Why am I not allowing Brown Beezer to speak? Because he says some stuff that's really stupid, and I'm not doing stupid today. Stupid is for other days. I can't do stupid every day. It drives me nuts. I can't handle it.
You know, I mean, sometimes you can take it, sometimes you can't.
I can't do stupid every day.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes he has some valid points, but in the middle of his valid points, he says something stupid, and I can't do stupid every day. Stupid is not always good. Have you not heard that?
Stupid is a stupid dog.
And I can't, you know, you need to prepare for stupid. So I'll see
you
tomorrow.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E.
Hello.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes. Good
morning. Hello.
Why do they choose to insult the people that call their show?
Because they are stupid and they don't have no better sense of what they do. And they give people the freedom of speech.
Yeah, there's no freedom of speech.
No, there's no freedom of speech. And she got the nerve to call somebody stupid, and that's what she does every day.
Yeah,
and I wait
I mean,
for my freedom of speech, and they have, and then they want to block you out because you want to speak different than they do.
Hey,
I got
a question, though.
I
got a question.
Answer. What's that?
Then why call in?
Because I feel like it, and I have the right to. To get rid of ignorance. Because
I'm
that
not,
guy that they
had...
When you don't pay attention to details, somebody needs to come help y'all out. Because that mess y'all had on us again, that man's talking about putting the pipeline. That pipeline ain't going to give nobody no job. And he's talking about he's paying $1,000 a month for the insurance.
What's really funny when someone that just speaks without thinking and speaks without any real knowledge behind when he talks, like Jeff, would accuse someone else of being stupid. You know, when I told them about the term Ashkenazi Jews yesterday, they acted like it was some hidden knowledge. They didn't know anything about it. You know, they didn't know anything about the term. They don't know anything about it. They're ignorant.
And then they had the nerve to try to keep you from speaking because it makes them think.
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.